Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
And be the man.
You gotta be the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
Hey, this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki? Is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio. You know the way to contact us. If you're a Skyper, it's Sir Rockin'. If you have a phone and you're like, Skype's not cool, and you can't tweet us because I don't have one of those, 877-588-9877, hit option 1, and that'll get you to us directly. Tonight is basically a new music evening, because everybody's like, oh, you keep doing all this retro stuff. Why are you doing retro, retro, retro? Do some new stuff. Okay, like, fine. New music night. It'll be interesting, and we got, fingers crossed, this is going to be an awesome show, because we've got some of the hottest stars of Ring of Honor joining us. If you were on TMZ the last 48 hours... you know that our 10 o'clock guest is on the hot sheets in that area. That would be the gentleman who worked for the Juggalos the same night, Tila Tequila. Can't believe I actually said that woman's name on this show. Met the Juggalos, and wow, isn't it an interesting night. So ROH superstar and Juggalo Colt Cabana is supposed to be joining us on the 10 o'clock hour, with fingers crossed. 11 o'clock hour. One half of the All Night Express, which is one of the other hot tag teams in ROH. You know him also if you watched WWE's Tough Enough. You know him from TNA Wrestling. He is the natural Kenny King. He's also been a part of the YRR in ROH and in Full Impact Pro. Spug and Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio will be joining us in a couple moments here, but I hate this part of the business, but once again, there's another professional wrestler who has gone way, way too early, and his name is Lance McNaught. You know him better as Lance Garrison. You also know him as Lance Cade. He was a 3-time WWE Tag Team Champion in the last few years with Trevor Murdoch, who's gone on to do some shots with TNA Wrestling. The sad part of all this, guys, is he was 29 years old. My wife's 28. This shook me basically to the ground. Father of two, worked for WWE since on and off since 2003. His wife Tanya noticed over the past week he simply didn't look healthy, and it seemed he'd be having trouble breathing, and called an ambulance to rush him to the hospital last Tuesday night while we were on the air. Passed out apparently at one point, but was revived at the hospital. He was released on Wednesday, and when he got home, he left and didn't come back. Apparently his dad said Lance showed up at his job and wasn't looking good, and the father brought him to his house in San Antonio and discovered he had passed away late that night. His wife believed he had not been drinking. Unfortunately, he was released in 2008 for stuff that had apparently happened on a flight. It's one of those sketchy things that apparently there was an incident on a WWE flight where he had suffered a seizure and needed medical assistance. Jim Ross at the time had said it was a major league mistake utilizing bad judgment. He had actually been signed in October of 2009 back to WWE and had apparently moved here to Florida to work at FCW, but he was released this past April, not even being on TV. And it's sad. Shawn Michaels, who we'll mention in a little while too, because of a certain returning, tweeted, which I don't do, sorry, not cool enough. Shawn Michaels is cool enough to do it. Said, after my morning tweet, I got a call about Lance. No words will be good enough. One of my boys is gone. My prayers and thoughts have already been given to his family and will continue. Goodbye, Lance. I love you. I ask that all of you would lift his family up in prayer. So now that we've had a somber note to the show, we'll say good evening to our two gentlemen from Wrestle Talk Radio. Welcome Mace and Spug to the show. They will be with us for hopefully the duration. We're going to get into the WWE, and normally I'd be opening tonight, guys, with talking about SummerSlam, or as Omega, I think, was the one that called it, Sunday Night SmackDown. But we're going to take care of some legal stuff. This is what you need to know if you are a WWE superstar. Don't let the following happen to you. Taryn Terrell, former Playboy Bunny, who works for WWE under the stage name of Tiffany, was arrested on August 8th in West Los Angeles. She was charged with a misdemeanor assault charge against her husband. Now, fans are probably going, who's she married to, dude? Tell me. I gotta know this stuff. Okay, fine. She's married to SmackDown superstar Drew McIntyre. Now, I do the worst accent in the world. Mace is our resident accent person. He'll drop anything on us in a couple minutes. Now, apparently a domestic disturbance between the two broke out and led security and later police to be called to a hotel that's not named in the police report. Ms. Terrell was taken into custody and booked in the Van Nuys Valley Jail at 10:26 a.m., was released on a $20,000 bond later that afternoon. She was not taken into custody or jailed, or actually charged. Now, she does have a September 2nd appearance in L.A. Municipal County Court. WWE apparently was not too happy with this and sent her home once they knew about it. So if you were wondering, what the heck is Mike Mizanin doing out here cutting a promo about being on? That's why, because Tim Stein at WTR said from numerous sources he had that was apparently supposed to be a tag match of some kind with the SmackDown Divas involving Tiffany. There's a lot of talk among the WWE performers from numerous sources that we'll mention later on that she may end up actually getting be released because she was in town representing the company as part of their entire SummerSlam week. And if you watched Monday Night Raw last night and also the pay-per-view, you saw all this footage that they had done. They did stuff with Boys and Girls Clubs. They did stuff all over the place. So, and performers have been let go in the past when incidents had happened in hotels during WrestleMania week. I think Rhino comes to mind there. So, let that be a lesson, all you kids. Don't be a dumbass. Yes, I just said ass on All In World of Wrestling Radio. Sorry. I said ass, Spug. I said ass. I could get away with that one. There's other words that I can kind of get away with, but I can't.
Can we get away with damn? Can we get away with damn?
Yeah, we can get away with that, but we're not going to talk about the past on this show. We're not going to talk about yesterday because that's been resolved. It's been resolved. We'll talk about it later on in the evening.
Has it been resolved? Because I was fairly upset.
Yeah. I know. It's been resolved. It was apparently a phone and breaking and lots of yelling about the phone being broken and embarrassment, which is being resolved.
Okay, let me put it this way.
Speaking of embarrassing, go ahead.
Remember how I was standing out in front of two accounts yesterday waiting for that?
Yeah, you got in trouble, didn't you?
I got back to the shop and got screamed at.
I apologize.
For a good 15 minutes. Oh, not your fault.
No,
not your fault.
We're not going to name the person because they may actually be appearing on the show soon. So,
It's not his. I'm just rather upset that nobody had the common courtesy to email when they knew that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Now talk about email. We'll get into email in a second here because thanks to Tim and the Sorokin, while we were all watching Sunday Night SmackDown, SummerSlam. We're watching the show and it's going on and all of a sudden Rock pops up this neat little thing before the main event hit the ring, which was the next 7-on-7. And here's what it read. We found this on WWE.com, which of course has magically disappeared, but we got a copy thanks to Joey Styles. This is direct. Now this is before the main event aired. The Miz really milked it. The United States champion, Mr. Money in the Bank, thought he had Team WWE by the short and curlies. I don't know who wrote this. Before the 7-on-7 tag team elimination match, Miz even insisted on John Cena and Bret Hart begging him to join. While Cena did appear on the Titan trying to address Miz, he wasn't there to stroke the Cleveland Screamer's ego. Who the heck came up with that nickname? Instead, he informed the entire WWE universe that Team WWE's seventh man would be none other than a former member of Nexus, Daniel Bryan. A humiliated Miz, Bryan, former WWE pro on season one of WWE NXT, went apologetic after being slighted and let everyone within earshot know of his dissatisfaction. As for Bryan, he had one word to describe the development. Awesome. First to Spug, then to Mace. Does Joey Styles get fired for this, or is there an underling of Joey's that gets fired for something like this happening? And how high did Vince McMahon's blood pressure go?
Who cares? It was awesome. They did the right thing by bringing him back, because we all kind of called it.
I like being right. It's once nice to be right once in a while. But did it bother you at all to read this? I mean, because they did switch up the angle really fast once we got to the main event.
You know, that's fine. I think we all kind of not knew that he was going to be there, but we knew at some point, one, he was going to be back, and two, he was going to feud with Miz. So I think they did it right, first and foremost. And second of all, just to throw that out there, I don't know if Michael Cole's hatred for Bryan Danielson is legit or it's a work, but I tell you what, if he doesn't shut his mouth, he might find himself in the cattle mutilation for real.
I'm not 100% sure, but the majority of Monday Night Raw, I muted the sound. Once the matches start, I muted it. Cause I can't stand Cole. I don't know how the guy's got a job at all, but he's got one. I don't. Did this bother you at all, Mace, that this match was spoiled the way it was? And overall did you think of Daniel Bryan's performance? Did you like the way he was booked in the main event?
To be honest, it didn't really shock me as much. Yeah, I was laughing hysterically the second we got posted the link in our little chat that it was spoiled, and I'm like, hilarious. But actually seeing it play out, yeah, he got a massive pop. That was exactly what the event needed, which was some excitement. And as for how he was played off in the match, like the initial start of the match, you know, submitting, was it Darren Young?
He had Darren Young tap. They were tapping like crazy in that match. He got Darren Young to tap. He got
the ginger kid to tap.
Yeah, got Heath Slater to tap. And then, of course, everybody got their revenge on Monday Night Raw, which we'll get to in a second. Speaking of interesting, looks like Bryan Danielson is going to be keeping some of those indie dates, kids, because our friends over at Evolve Wrestling, Gabe Sapolsky, who runs that and also runs Dragon Gate USA, sent this out on his Facebook. Okay, some Bryan answers. Yes, he definitely will be on the 9/11 event in Rahway, New Jersey against Sawa. It'll be the only show he will be on that day. he will, quote-unquote, most likely be on the September 25th and 26th Dragon Gate USA shows. I'll have an update in a day or two. No, I was not in on it. I didn't find out anything until 7:30 p.m. before SummerSlam, and it was not from Brian. NYWCWrestling.com, who we had talked about on the show last week, posted their thing real fast saying they're starting to report that due to the WWE commitment on August 28th, Bryan Danielson is being forced to cancel his appearance at Draw the Line. The NYWC is doing everything in its power to try to find a suitable replacement for Mr. Danielson, and we understand the disappointment our fans must feel at this moment, and NYWC is feeling it as well. Anyone interested in a refund for this event can email nywcsales@aol.com. They hope to still see all of you in Deer Park on August 28th and promise to make your evening fun as can be. Without going match for match, because you guys did a wonderful job of doing that on Sunday, to Mace, then back to Spug, give me match of the night from this show. Was it the main event that saved this show from being a five-finger stinker?
I wouldn't say the main event would be the match of the night. Actually, I'd give that honor to Kofi and Ziggler at the start of the night. As, yeah, their match was interrupted by the Nexus, but they were putting on a fairly impressive match to open up the show. And that was after I went back and rewatched the pay-per-view. So, yeah, I don't believe the main event was saving it. I think the only thing that saved the main event was Danielson coming back. Oh, sorry, I should say Daniel Bryan.
Contract. We can call him whatever the heck we want. We can call him Slut Bun Walla, and we can get away with it here legally, unless Idiot's Heart is listening. And by the way, we love you, Eddie. We love you, Eddie.
Engelbert slapped you back.
Exactly. And we have flags, too, so watch out. Match of the night.
We do have flags.
Damn right. We have flags on this show, so you can conquer us. Match of the night for you, Spug. Was it main event? Was it Kofi? Was it your run to the popcorn machine? What was it?
Honestly, Orton Sheamus.
Hmm.
Because I thought that they did a very good job with telling the story through the... Through the match, you could see that Sheamus was actually being very tentative and engaging Randy Orton at first. And then last night on Raw, they did an even better job, you know, of continuing that angle. And I really wish they wouldn't have already made the title match for the next pay-per-view, because I would really like to see Sheamus versus Orton again.
Well, we're not leaking that. There's been stories going around that they already have set the main event for Night of Champions for the WWE Championship, but we're not going to... That hasn't aired yet, so we can't go there.
No, I'm not going to leak it, but...
Right.
But, you know, the way... If it plays out the way that it looks like it's going to, I'm very saddened by it, because I would have loved to have seen them in a cage or a Hell in a Cell or something with finality to it.
Well, why not? Can you, even though you may have what is rumored to be a more than those two people match, can you, let's say Sheamus happens to retain whoever he's wrestling, be it Orton solo or not, on Night of Champions, can you get this to the October pay-per-view or even possibly Survivor Series? Is there enough gas on this fire?
Oh, yeah. Because I think... Randy Orton's always been good chasing. I mean, remember what made him into a fan favorite was when he was chasing Benoit.
Right.
And then the subsequent beatdown on him by Evolution. I think Randy Orton's one of those guys that always performs better when he's chasing the title. And especially with Sheamus, who's so easily hateable. Because I, you know, everybody hates.
Is it the hair that's doing it to him, or is it the stave-up
Marshmallow Man? Because people are just angry that he's trying to imitate Ghostbusters. But you know, I think if they do what they're going to do at Night of Champions and say Sheamus retains over Orton. That's just more fuel to the fire. And then you take it to October, and you have it end. You can't have it end cleanly in October again. You have to have it end dirty. And then you could take it to Survivor Series and do something there
Hell in the Cell by that point?
You could see Hell in a Cell, or you'd have to do something that's sort of over the top. Like, you couldn't do an Elimination Chamber,
mm-hmm.
but you could do a Hell in a Cell. You could do an I Quit. I'd honestly like to see them pull an old school one out of the bag, one that we haven't seen in a very long time. I want to see a bull rope match. And I'm not talking you touch the four corners bull rope match. I mean, you're attached by a bull rope and you're not getting away. You know, I want
to. Are you kidding, Rock? Sorry to interrupt you. Rock is saying, it's our super cool tech producer, Sir Rockin, is saying WWE actually has two pay-per-views. This is according to WWE.com. There actually is a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view on October 3rd, and then they're doing Bragging Rights on October 24th. I thought we did Bragging Rights, sir. No, the Bragging Rights is the SmackDown versus Raw 5-on-5 or 10-on-10 team, I think. To move this point along to Mace, are you a fan of what, like Spug is saying, that this is the money feud, Sheamus versus Randy Orton? Forget all the other feuds that are going on with the Nexus and everyone else. Is this the money feud that you could get to a Hell in a Cell, Bragging Rights, and possibly Survivor Series? Or are you hoping at Night of Champions this is over no matter who walks out with the belt?
I'm hoping Night of Champions is where it ends. As much as it's a feud that can actually have legs, but it won't, because guess what? We're going to get, for the next couple of months, Barrett versus Cena headlining and taking the attention away from a feud that deserves a lot more than it's getting.
Okay. To recap Raw as fast as you can, in so many words, Alan, boring. Yeah, that's a good way to do this, because Nexus came out and said, well, we took out 6 of the 7 top Raw superstars. And then Marky Mark came out and said, no, you didn't. And, of course, our friend, the anonymous general manager, came out and said, all right, we're going to have 7 matches, which means everybody else is sitting in the locker room going, crap, no payday. So all 7 of the Nexus took on Team WWE. Barrett basically said, you lose, you're out. So, of course, everybody from Nexus won. And I mean everybody. Chris
Not
Jericho.
Sure.
Well, hold on. Let me finish. Let me finish, sir. Barrett beats Jericho. Daniel Bryan loses to Michael Tarver. But this was also, let's have an, it almost felt like, you know, they were watching the TNA 03-04 playbook, where it's like, let's have a run in every match. It'll be awesome. The fans will love it. So yeah, the Miz and Alex Riley interfere in Tarver, Daniel Bryan. Bret Hart was supposed to take on Justin Gabriel, and a GM said, no, you're not going to do that. So you had him versus Randy Orton. As Spug mentioned, Sheamus comes out, they fight all over. Gabriel wins by countout. Otunga and Sheffield actually won, well, sort of clean. They took out Morrison and The Truth. We got entertained by another six-women-girl match. Whatever. Heath Slater took out Edge by countout again. And, of course, Jerry Lawler. I nearly spit my Arizona iced tea, hopefully a sponsor soon of this show, and saw Jerry Lawler during Darren Young versus John Cena actually refer to him as he makes these super light comebacks out of nowhere. I'm like, holy crap, even Lawler believes it. Cena, shock of shocks, was the only one that wasn't beaten by the Nexus. And after the match, Darren Young got the beatdown of the decade by the Nexus. Are you surprised that this is still going on, Nexus? And to Mason, back to Spug, to wrap up our WWE talk, how long does this Nexus thing go? Is Nexus Diet Survivor Series? Give us a mark date of the pay-per-views that have been mentioned, Night of Champions, Hell in a Cell, Bragging Rights, and Survivor Series. At what point does creative go, okay, the Nexus has been real fun, but it's time to implode them and let's see what they all do individually?
What, you mean that they didn't do that at SummerSlam?
News, according to Wade Barrett, they're still as strong as ever, minus one Darren Young.
Right, because, you know, having two guys against Cena who's been beaten to a pulp and then have Cena come back like Superman and take them both down didn't kill these guys off creatively.
I don't think it did. I really don't. I think, I honestly think that Wade Barrett, one of them anyway, because I know Tarver, I know Tyrone Evans, he's a good guy, he works hard, he's a great guy in the locker room, so I think he'll be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Heath Slater, you all know my feelings on him. I don't really need to get into that, but...
Nah, it's okay.
But, like, I think Tarver will be fine. I think that Wade Barrett, you're looking at the next big heel in the WWE.
He's awesome on the microphone. Oh, my God.
He's great on the microphone. Yeah. I was so happy to see somebody with mic skills because the rest of them don't. I mean, the bald dude looks like a
Sheffield.
Walking, yeah. Sheffield looks like a walking phallic object. And I wish they would. And when he, like, puffs out his cheeks and gets all mad, I just kind of want to grab him and go, oh, you're so cute. You look like a little puppy.
So you don't think Otunga's that good on the stick as everybody says he is?
He's got a lisp. How can you be good on the stick when you talk like this? You
like
say,
Jake
hey.
Hager. Jake Hager's been doing it. Oh, wait, he's not even on he's on TV, not on TV. I like Darren Young for this. I got to see him and NXT Season 2 rookie Showtime Percy Watson on an FCW show a couple months back before Percy got brought up. They're a tag team here in FCW. They're called the South Beach Boys. So I think Darren Young could be safe, put him off to the side, and then after Percy's eliminated, I would like to see that. If you can get a chance, if they happen to be online somewhere, if FCW happens to have a video page or something, check it out.
Alan. You got to know with Darren Young, all you got to do is shave his head down and paint him white, and he can be John Cena's stunt double.
And that, or he can join a straight edge society.
No, 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 no. You put him in overalls and a t-shirt, and you have him coming out to Eddie Murphy's Wookin' Putnub in Ottawong Paces.
Oh, man.
Carrie.
They're owned by they're on the NBC Universal Family of Networks, and NBC owns the SNL library. Call up Lorne Michaels and say, have him come out to that. That would be awesome. And just have him stand in the ring and say, O-tay, and we'd love every second of it.
Just to speak about Raw real quick. I'm sorry, and y'all may hate him, and I carry a certain dislike for him, but anybody who can get a Wendy's chant going is okay in my books.
I'll give him credit. Cena did cut a good promo.
Because last night, the man did talk good on the stick. He really did.
Yeah, but he also got the cheap babyface pop coming out in the Laker colors in L.A. It's like, it was like a throwback to when Cena first came in. Because people got to remember, he came in as he was baby, then went heel and was wearing whatever town he was in. He was wearing the throwbacks of that town. One person that I'd like to see stay heel, I don't know if they're planning on turning these guys heel, face, keeping them as tweeners. I like Justin Gabriel, because when he gets up on that top rope before he's going to hit that 450 splash, he has got one of the most sinister stares I have seen in a long time. And he gets that smirk on his face, and he's just like, I'm going to make you wait until I decide finally to jump, and then I'm going to lay out. Unless, of course, you're John Cena, and then I'm going to go, all right, I'm going to jump. Wait, no. Ah, crap, he moved. Nothing really to talk about for SmackDown because, well, we're at a paper. It was after a pay per view, so.
And Alan.
Yes.
He didn't do the throwback of the town he was in Jersey until he became a face. When he was a heel, when he was a heel still doing the Thugonomics gimmick, when he was a face doing the Thugonomics gimmick, he wore the throwbacks of that town. But when he was a heel doing Thugonomics, he would wear
Wasn't it like the most hated rival of that town or something?
Yeah, he would wear the town's rival jersey. Like he came. Excuse me. They did a show in Columbus, and Cena came out wearing a Michigan jersey.
Oh, nice.
I think he quite literally almost got killed that show.
Oh, that never happens. Okay, we're going to transition away from our friends in the WWE, and we're going to take it to the Thursday night episode of Impact. But before we even get there, two interesting internet items came up. Now, I don't know how legit this one is, so put this in your it's an interesting item, but I don't know how true it is. Apparently, TNA is not exactly a favorite of Joey Styles, who was praised beyond belief during the One Night the Last Stand. WWE announcer and ECW original Joey Styles were recently asked his thoughts on TNA's whole effing show edition of Impact. He is quoted to have saying from numerous sites, including the OWW Genesis board, and I think this also came from Raja.com, "I watched the whole effing show highlights online. I've seen wood chipper victims who are a mess, less of a mess than RVD. Who books that crap?" Now, it's obviously not Paul Heyman, because he appeared on the MMA Hour on MMAfighting.com and commented, and I'm sorry if I get this person's name wrong, Ariel Helwani, on his TNA negotiations. He said this, quote, "They're not ready for me. They're not there yet." Heyman also stated that TNA wrestlers who were over 40 years old would not be happy if he went to work for the company. And I'm going to have to bleep myself in a second here. Quoted from Paul Heyman directly, "If you're over 40, I'd chop your effing head off." Ouch. That's like a Ric Flair nut shot right there, guys. So bye-bye Kevin Nash, bye-bye Hogan, bye-bye Flair, bye-bye Sting, bye-bye possibly RVD. Isn't he late 20? Isn't he in his
20s?
Isn't he late 30s, 40s? Isn't he also pushing 40? So wouldn't that, so all your ECW guys would be gone. Raven gone, Dreamer gone, Stevie Richards gone. You'd be back basically with the main roster you've got. And RVD's 39. Thank you, Sir Rockin. Now, everybody's been on me for weeks and weeks and weeks. Alan, you gotta get Twitter. You gotta get Twitter. Pretty please. Yo, get a Twitter. There's fake analogic accounts. Bug, put it away. Apparently there was a legit Hulk Hogan page out there. Boy, were you wrong. Now, Eric Bischoff apparently had plugged the new Hulk Hogan Twitter page in his account, directing fans to follow it. Todd Clem of the Love Sponge did the same thing later. And the quote-unquote Hulk Hogan went on Twitter and announced that he and Bischoff were walking out of TNA after getting about 4,000 followers in less than 24 hours. The quote on Twitter was, "Thank you, Bob and Dixie Carter, for the wonderful and positive experiences in TNA. Nothing but the best to you guys." Added other stuff. And then, later on, the messages of Hogan leaving disappeared, and this came up. At E. Bischoff. "Got work, brothers. He publishes information before even verifying its accuracy. How can someone like this even try to run TNA?" The man behind this revealed himself as a current TNA employee. Holy crap. I don't know how legit this is or not, but this is from ProWrestlingInsider.com. "Dad apparently wasn't happy in the situation, so he decided to have some fun at the expense of Eric Bischoff. That piece of bleep, Bubba Love Sponge, got work too. The anonymous person posted that TNA doesn't listen to its employees backstage, hates Bischoff, although he doesn't mind Hogan. Quote, they're just taking money. Hogan and Bischoff always play up how we're a happy family backstage, but that's far from it. We get paid bleep. This one was for the internet wrestling community. Beat us if you can. Survive if we let you." Dixie Carter responded that the fake account ordeal was rumors. To what extreme people will go. The individual behind the Hogan account replied, saying that the post was bogus. Bischoff himself is bogus as well. This thing goes on and on and on. Dude, who the heck's running this stuff over here, man? Does this bother either one of you that somebody from backstage at TNA decided to air dirty laundry like this, or is this something? Both of you were in the business, are in the business in some form or fashion. You've been in locker rooms that you've been around talent that's not just a one-time incident. You've been there with families backstage. To Mace, then to Spug, do you put any credibility to anything that this guy is saying, whoever it is?
I'm going to go with no, and my obligatory answer from Sunday, meh.
Okay. Soon to be patent pending by a Mace. Does this bother you at all, Spug, that somebody decided to air dirty laundry about everything that's going on in this company?
Not really, no.
Do you put any weight behind it? Do you buy what he's saying, or are you just, like he said, I'm a disgruntled employee, and this is my way of, maybe this one person is miffed about everything that's been going on?
I think that's his way. I mean, I don't have a problem with him airing the quote-unquote dirty laundry, and I really don't even have a problem with him impersonating Bischoff and Hogan. What I do have a problem with, however, is then bitching about TNA and admitting he or she worked for them.
Well, this is the same company that somebody went on Bubba the Love Sponge and talked about Kurt Angle's ex-wife having an affair with Jeff Jarrett. So it's not the first time something like this has happened. I'm sorry, continue your point, sir.
If you're going to air dirty laundry, you know, either do it after you leave the company or do it in such a fashion that nobody knows you work for them. Because quite frankly, dude, you might not have a job after this.
So you think they're going around everybody, all right, throw your berries up on the counter, throw whatever phone you're using, your smartphone, your dumb phone, all right, let's see who you are.
Yeah, I mean, if you owned a promotion of the magnitude of TNA, wouldn't you? I would.
Well, didn't this happen back in the day in ECW that there was supposedly a mole in that locker room that was shoving people to WCW with Terry Taylor and other stuff? So it's not common to have these guys doing stuff like this. I mean, I just don't understand. Like that. I've never been a professional wrestler, so I can't understand. And I've been in plenty of locker rooms, but I haven't been on a weekly basis or a traveling basis with a locker room like TNA. Now, like I said, on screen, the product looks phenomenal, but it's because it looks great on the outside doesn't mean the inside isn't so horrible. I did get my wish this past Thursday night that the EV 2.0 Love Fest was destroyed, and we're happy because we're getting a feud out of this. Oh, hey, look at that. We got a caller who I think wanted to comment on this Twitter incident from our chat room. Good evening, Miss Jersey Girl. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Alan.
Hi there. You were saying you have an idea who you think the culprit is. So play CSI WTR OWW Radio for us. Who is it? Who do you think did it?
Vince Russo.
You think this is Russo? Why would this be Russo? He's getting a nice payday, and he's supposedly becoming an executive producer now.
I mean, why wouldn't he do it? I mean, he hates Bischoff, he hates Hogan. Why not go out and pretty much destroy anything? I mean, everyone says that what he writes is crap anyway, and they blame him for everything. Why not go out and do this and have a little fun in the process?
So you think this is him undermining them again, going, look, you guys can't even control your own locker room. If I'm back in control, none of this would be happening. Is that how you're trying to play this? In your mind?
In my mind, yes. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. They can't get Heyman, so Russo wants to go out and have fun and goes, oh, what the hell?
Yeah, because Paul Heyman will look like Ari Gold in season 6 of Entourage going around with a spray gun, take up the dart gun or whatever he used to take people out. Heyman will be going around with a machete. Danny Trejo's going to use a machete, chopping people's head. You're 40? Yeah. You're 39? All right, fine, you live. You look 40. You die. And that just sounds very comical to hear a grown man like Paul Heyman saying, you're 40, I'm going to chop your head off. we had our differences on the Sunday night show. You watched Impact, possibly. your thoughts on this idea of an EV 2.0 versus the heels of TNA wrestling. Did you like seeing that the EV guys look like they're sticking around, at least to No Surrender, possibly Bound for Glory?
Personally, I think I really don't like it. I don't like the fact that they're like, okay, this is your last hurrah, and then like the next day they're like, oh yeah, by the way, we're doing the same thing WWE did, and we're gonna book you guys. You're gonna look like the weak links that you are, and then send them off into the sunset. I wouldn't book it that way, but that's just my opinion of it all.
Oh, we appreciate your opinion on here. Tell you what, we're going to go ahead and let you go because we're going to keep the train moving along so we can get to our next destination, which hopefully is Colt Cabana at 10 o'clock. So thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you on the other side.
All right, Don. See ya.
Thank you. Wasn't it a little convenient that these guys came out properly dressed in white all over the place? Well, majority of them were dressed in white. But that's always like a telltale sign. The guy's got bleach blonde hair like Flair or Carino or Raven. They're going to bleed like crazy, so it looks awesome. The TNA reaction show actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. We'll get the guys' opinions of it if they read the notes on it or not. If they didn't, that's fine. But if you did watch reaction, reaction was basically a highlight show of what went on SmackDown. Felt like SmackDown to a degree there. They showed Dixie mourning, that RVD was taken to a hospital, which that looked just like they went backstage at a horror movie and said, alright, get a little bit on him there. Get a little bit over there. Okay, Rob, play dead. You've been doing, you do it good. We saw the Dave Bautista movie. You do it good. Ready? Action. That was staged awesomely great. Tommy Dreamer came out and said, no, Dixie wants us here next Thursday. Great. We'll be here. This claims that they, whoever they is, I mean, is they like some disgruntled Orlando Magic players? Is they LeBron James fans that are pissed that he left? Just
hey,
reveal
hey,
who they
hey,
are.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you leave the city of Cleveland alone, buddy.
Oh, LeBron's leaving it alone, which sucks, but hey, LeBron's a dumbass.
No. We're actually glad that LeBron is leaving us alone, because we really don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, I know. You guys burned jerseys really nice in that town. I like. It was fun to watch.
If you
the other fun thing.
Listen.
I'm a city of champions. Every time I turn around, I got a World Series ring. I love it.
Hey, when was the last time the Rangers won a cup?
1994, I was there.
Yeah, the Penguins won it 2 years ago.
It's not even hockey season yet, and you're violating the Tim Stein rule. We're not supposed to talk hockey until it's actually hockey time. The other fun thing to come out of this event is possibly a couple new characters debuted in dark matches on the tapings from last Monday and Tuesday. Northeast wrestler Rob Echoes and Florida and Northeast wrestler Becky Bayless came in and
any
wrestled as
Skip.
I'm not 100% sure. Because that's not a real name, but we don't do real names here unless it is your real name and then we use it. They debuted doing Jersey Shore-like characters. Is it a surprise that this has happened, that TNA did it before WWE? And, oh yeah, by the way, people that watch Jersey Shore, they're not from Jersey. They're New Yorkers who go to vacation in Jersey. I think she's being called Cookie, and I had it typed out as to what Echoes' name was. Apparently it got over well with the fans. Does this bother you at all that they're stealing from reality TV for their show? I mean, they had Johnny Fairplay in here. They had another girl from Survivor in here. Now they're stealing this stuff. Either one of you, does this bother you, or you'd rather wait and see it live before you comment?
It doesn't bother me at all.
Didn't Becky already do this character in that failure of a action entertainment show involving wrestling as a vehicle?
Oh, the number two show in the business. Yeah, which I think I heard something about their coming back, not coming back. I don't know.
Wait, hold on. What?
She supposedly did this character in Wrestlelicious, is what he's saying.
I was like, all right, can we just not say Wrestlelicious?
Yeah, I think she did Manhattan or a Mafia Princess-like thing. I don't know. It'd be nice to see an actual manager in that company as opposed to a motorcycle-headed woman who helped, without realizing it, helped Angelina Love win the Knockouts title again, defeating Madison Rain. I'm happy that they got the tag belts on Hamada and Taylor Wilde, but and of course they're hinting again at now the beautiful people are going to be rechristened again with Angelina and Velvet. The saddest part of all, guys, the series of five is done. The Motor City Machine Guns took out Beer Money in a 2 out of 3 falls match to save this show from utter oblivion. Jeff Hardy's open challenge was answered by, of all people, Shannon Moore. Many people were going, yes, Greg Helms is coming. Greg Helms is, what the hell is Shannon Moore doing out here? Because apparently we had seen reports that, oh, her name was Brooke Lynn. There you go. Thank you, Mace, for finding that for us. Matt Morgan and Anderson and the Pope had a very interesting three-way dance. Kurt Angle took out AJ Styles via submission, but didn't become the world global tri-state area, tri-county area TV champion. Wow, that's just bothering me. You change the title of your championships like every other week here. Do we have like a decal company in the back working on this, guys? Overall, are you liking, either one of you, are you liking Kurt Angle's climb to the top without what's going to happen this Thursday on Impact? Because we obviously don't know the fate of RVD, if he's going to keep the belt or not. There's talk that he may be stripped due to his injuries. There's talk he may be back by No Surrender September 5th. Is the goal in your mind, Spug, still Angle takes out the top 10 and wins the belt by Bound for Glory, or are you not liking this whole Kurt Angle, I'm taking myself out of the top 10 to climb up?
I've always kind of liked Angle, to be honest with you, so whatever he does is going to, you know, he's got the conviction to pull it off and make it look good, so go for it, you know? If the storyline is look, I'm a wrestling fan first and foremost, so it doesn't matter the company. If the storyline is compelling and it's worth watching, I'm gonna watch it, no matter who's involved.
Your thoughts on this, Mace? So you liking Kurt Angle's rise to the top, or are you like, wow, I think it's time for someone new to step in here?
I'm liking it, actually. It's one of those things that is giving us matchups that we haven't seen before, and actually is putting on very decent matches. I'm hoping that this ends with Kurt Angle going up against whoever the champion's going to be, whether it's Rob Van Dam or somebody else. He loses, and we lose, and we get a feud based out of respect, because that's one thing wrestling doesn't do enough, in my opinion, is feuds based on respect. You know, I just want to beat you to say that I'm better, but you know what? If you're the better man on the night, you're the better man on the night. And just while we're on Impact for a quick second, Alan, the Beer Money Motor City Machine Guns feud, I could watch that all year. And how drunk was AJ Styles when he got that tattoo?
And better yet, WWE has a policy like that where they have to approve tats. Uncertain talent. You think Dixie all of a sudden, and Shannon Moore's apparently the one that did the ink. I mean, does that, and is in the Fortune gimmick and Fortune, I don't think any of the horsemen ever had ink anywhere at all. I understand they're not horsemen, but, I mean, oh, apparently Borges was there when it happened, Rock? Oh God.
Okay, hold on. Because I don't know what y'all are talking about.
Yeah, Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, in on his right, underneath his right armpit, I think that's where it is, has the big letters of an A and a J, and then underneath has the 3 dates of birth of his 3 children.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like, hey, what the heck? Did he, like, rub against Jeff Hardy's makeup backstage? What the heck happened? I was like, okay, I mean, do either one of you have tats?
I have 11.
Okay, now, if you were working for WWE and they had told you, okay, the next one you get, you need to have approved by us, are you fine with that? Or are you like, no, it's my body, I'll do what I want with it?
I'm fine with it because I don't get ink just to get ink. Like, every tattoo I have means something. Or, you know, it means something to me anyway. You know what I mean? Like, I have the Browns logo, the old Brownie the Elf, and I have the Ohio State Block O with the Heisman Trophy years and the years that they won the national championship on it. And it's part of a sleeve I'm doing, a half sleeve that I'm doing that's Ohio State based. Because I'm a gigantic Ohio State fan. I have a pinup girl on my leg because I love pinup girls. I have my family crest on my other. I mean, I'm fine with it because usually when I get ink, it means something. So I'm not just going to go out and randomly get it. So if they say, "Yo, we have to approve it," that's fine.
And does it take away from the AJ Styles character at all? Because, I mean, Undertaker's covered head to toe in them. In your mind, Mace, does it taint the Fortune gimmick that you got? Bobby Roode, I don't believe, has any visible ones. James Storm doesn't have any visible ones. Does this bother you at all? Does this kind of taint them at all? Or are you just like, whatever, it's his body, let him do what he wants?
Pretty much, it's his body, he can do whatever he wants. That's sort of my overall opinion of it. I don't know, I don't think it really detracts as it more distracts. Because when I was watching the match, all I could think was, holy beep, I that would be a real pain to bump on, you know, as bug somebody who's had tattoo work done. I've got plenty of friends who have had it done. I'm planning mine at the moment.
It does hurt.
You land,
it hurts.
Yeah, if you land on a tattoo while it's still tender, it's going to hurt a lot. But, yeah, I just don't see the idea of getting the gigantic A and J. Like, the birth of his kids, that's not a problem. You know, that's always a great thing to do. But, yeah, the big A and J, I don't know, does he have to remind himself who his character is?
No, he just needs to remind himself of his name when he wakes up in the mirror in the morning.
I'm not someone that has tats, so it's hard for me to comment on it. If you got the money, more power to you. Have a blast, inking yourself up like crazy. I don't know if this has anything to do with what's going to happen this Thursday night, but apparently cable companies were sent a release for the No Surrender pay-per-view, and it listed one of the matches being a first-time ever match. And I don't know if it's first-time ever or not, because they don't acknowledge. I mean, they put WWE over like crazy on their events, but apparently they had announced in this release, and I'm sure it'll probably change like it did for Hard Justice, first time ever match of Kurt Angle versus Jeff Hardy. Does this interest either one of you or anyone in the chat room to see Angle Hardy on any level, be it a house show, pay-per-view, regular Impact? Either one of you can jump in, just don't jump on each other.
Hold on. I'm looking up something. Because it's not the first time that they've wrestled.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really buy into what it said.
They've wrestled on Raw, they've wrestled on SmackDown, and it looks like they wrestled at a pay-per-view once, too.
But it was all under the Vince McMahon umbrella. It was nowhere near TNA wrestling.
Maybe a first time ever in TNA, but it's not a first time that they've ever wrestled, no. So, whatever, you know? Don't
build this match have, does this have interest to you at all of seeing Angle Hardy, or are you just like, Hardy, Angle could wrestle the chair from the third row and I'll be entertained by it?
Angle could wrestle the chair from the third row and it'll be entertaining because Angle's that good. But, you know, to be quite honest, I really don't care about Jeff Hardy. I wish he would go away and that most of the fat girls could stop eating at Golden Corral, you know, while he's in jail because they'll be in mourning.
Which seems to keep being pushed back and back and back, and every time I turn around. Just want to catch up on a couple indie stories that are out there. And we'll possibly address a couple of them with our guests, which will be Cole Cabana at the top of the hour and Kenny King at the bottom of the hour at 11 o'clock. Definitely check out Masked Warriors Lucha Libre USA, because there are events that we talked with Marco Corleone, was in town for the Vegas event. That'll be starting to show up on TV. Some great matches there. Amazing Kong looks like she is staying around there as well. One member of the YRR that Kenny King was involved with and we've talked about on this show, longtime Florida staple, Chasen Rance, is scheduled to go on trial. He's going on trial, it looks like, November 22nd, unless Jeff Hardy's lawyers get involved and push it back, to face the charges of lewd and lascivious battery after he actually allegedly had sexual relations with a 15-year-old girl in Orlando. For those who don't know what's going on, Chasen was arrested in July after he was taped by authorities over the course of several conversations with the girl, alleging that they had slept together and that he was sorry if he ever hurt her. The first encounter allegedly happened in Rance's home after the two had been drinking. He was officially arraigned on the 5th. Now, if you're a fan of the TV show Mad Men, which I am not, I apologize, I'm not a fan of Mad Men, a friend of ours, being me personally, pro wrestling manager, she works for Pro Wrestling Fusion, she's worked for Full Impact Pro and other promotions. Check out amyvitale.net and you'll know who I'm talking about. She's also done modeling, she's also been an actress, done some bit spots on Burn Notice and other shows. She has joined a Mad Men casting call, which you can find at madmencastingcall.amctv.com. You can go to that site and vote for her or anyone else you'd like. They apparently are doing a contest to fill a walk-in role on the series. So you can go to that link. You have to vote by September 6th. The only thing that stops you is you have to vote once a day. You can't vote anymore. And it looks like they basically had everyone that was involved had to dress it up in the attire of the show, which I believe is a 60s show, an ad agency show. It's one of those after, it's one of those after watching Sopranos and Entourage. And it's hard to watch shows sometimes when the guy's like, oh, I wrote for Sopranos. Okay, you're calming it down, dude, for this? Okay, cool. I may check it out one day on TV. I don't know. Is it a decent show? Did either one of you have seen it?
I've watched it. I've watched it. It's not bad. It's all right. I tell you what I'm looking forward to is finally getting off the air with you fine folks after this and watching the season premiere of Weeds that aired last night.
Ah, Mary Louise Parker. Can't go wrong. She's a fave of this show.
She's so hot.
I watched her on the West Wing a few times, and she was phenomenal, and she's done movies back in the day. She's actually going to be in the next movie, I think it's called Red. It's based on a DC graphic novel series about assassins who are hunted, former CIA operatives that are hunted down, and she's attached to the Bruce Willis character. Congrats to the Expendables guys, $35 million US-wise. So, having Randy Couture and Stone Cold Steve Austin in your movie and Jet Li and everybody seems to pay off. Stallone will probably be walking around going, I'm the reason they all came, man. None of them came to see any of the other guys that are in this movie, man. I don't know. If you're going to go see it, I'm not going to spoil anything, but just go into the theater with this in mind. Rambo 5. It possibly could have been Rambo 5. Because it was rumored to be a script that he was going to use is Rambo 5. Before, I guess, Rambo's going to outer space to fight somebody. I don't know. We're going to go ahead and take our first break of the evening. I know it took forever to get to it, so I apologize. And stick around. Because coming up at the top of the hour, the one and only Cole Cabana will be joining us from ROH. We thank ROHWrestling.com for setting that interview up for us. And we'll be back. 877-588-9877, option 1, or Skype Sir Rockin', and we'll talk to you on the other side of the break. You're on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
And cursed at the wind. He broke his own heart, and I watched as he tried to reassemble it. And my mama swore that she would never let herself forget. And that was the day that I promised I'd never sing of love if it does not exist. But darling, you are the only exception. You are the only exception. You are the only exception.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talkie Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Anderson Stout.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
A moment you won't forget. Don't miss out. Tweet your friends right on their wall. Spread the word for a can't-miss moment.
Yes, I'm glad Rock's recording because this will be probably one of the only times you'll ever hear me say that I was actually impressed by Mr. Anderson tonight. He did very well. They set up the Jeff Hardy splash in the corner thing, and at the last possible second, Anderson gets up, grabs Hardy in a power slam, dropped him down for a quick two count, and I was impressed, sir.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Corino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people because you're listening to the online World of Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcicki.
Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana, Colt Cabana,
it's Colt Cabana.
So you gotta stop today. It's your boy Cabana, giving what we're in. Acting silly like the modern day Dave Coulet. It's the second city state, everybody say hey. They stop a minute, can't breathe, cause it's good times, great memories. If you got me, you can find Cabana.
Good evening. On the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. 877-588-9877, option one is the way to join us on the phone lines. If you're a Skype user, you can add Sir Rockin' to your list of contacts, and he will guide you to our show that way. If you live in the Philadelphia area this weekend, ROH Ring of Honor wants you to be in attendance for their TV taping events. In addition to that, our guest will be in Richmond, Virginia on August 27th for the Tag Wars 2010. And if that's not enough, we addressed it with the King of Old School, Steve Corino, last week. On September 11th, Glory by Honor 9 is going to be the next internet pay-per-view. You can go to gofightlive.tv for some interesting matches, including our guest in a second. He's going to be involved in a double chain match. Bloodfest galore there. Steve Corino and Kevin Steen taking on El Generico, and our guest at this time, the one and only Colt Cabana. Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, sir. Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing really good, and it looks like... You're one of the most popular people in the world, not only with wrestling fans, but it looks like you've gone Hollywood. We were doing research yesterday for this interview, and my producer, Sir Rockin, pops on and says, you're not going to believe who's on TMZ.com. And I immediately turned and said, I didn't do anything wrong. Okay, who's possibly on TMZ? You're on TMZ.com. How much can you talk about what happened at this Juggalo Championship Wrestling event involving a former reality star named Tila Tequila?
I thought you were going to talk about my heterosexual porn career also, but we don't have to talk
about that. We may save that for later.
All right. Well, TMZ picked up the story, and I was there wrestling for the Insane Clown Posse and the 11th Annual Gathering of the Juggalos, and what a great time I had. It was unbelievable. Just one of the best times really in my wrestling career, and remember I did wrestle for WWE also, but I had a blast, and I really break it down on my podcast this week. It's coming out Thursday. It's welovecolt.com. That's the art of wrestling, and I talk about it really in depth. But it was a wild night, and I happened to catch the Tequila performance, and it just so happens that happened to be the big breaking story. So, it was known that I was going to be there. TMZ knew that I was going to be there. They contacted me, and I just told them what happened. So, I really break that down at welovecolt.com every Thursday. You can subscribe on iTunes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and, on my podcast, which is doing really well. It was the number 5 podcast in the whole world in sports and professional. a couple weeks. I've had Punk on, and Chad Collier, and Sean Daivari, and this week should be a blast, so check that out every Thursday.
For fans that are friends of you on Facebook, they got to see some of the video footage from it, and they're probably asking a question that I'm asking. They're not seeing the happy-go-lucky, great times, great memories, Colt Cabana. How did this creation of Officer Colt Cabana come about? Was that a Juggalo thing? You on your own? Who came up with it? Because it looks like a real interesting character.
Yeah, well, the Insane Clown Posse, I guess, wanted a... they wanted a cop gimmick, and I think the first thing they came up with was Officer Fuzzy Nuts or Hairy Balls or something. I don't know. But they didn't know who to play it. And then a bunch of the guys on the tour was like, man, Colt's perfect for that. And so they just kind of came to me with the idea they wanted a cop to wrestle the Weed Man. And from there, you know, I had this video made, and you can check that out on my Facebook. Maybe I should put it on my Twitter, because I know I have over the limit of Facebook friends. I'm not really sure. My Twitter's Dr. Colt Cabana. I'll put it up there later, Dr. Colt Cabana. Yeah, but and so then that's I came up with the name. The name was Officer Jack Offerson, but then I think they wanted to switch it back to Colt Cabana. So who knows in the future? I don't even know if I'm going to be with them in the future. I heard they were kind of upset that I talked to TMZ, so I'm not even sure. But I had a blast. It was a fun time. I liked doing I was a bad guy, and it was fun, man. It was like an acting gig for me, you know, playing something different. Again, you know, when I do Matt Classic or Officer Jack Offerson, all the different characters, it's fun for me. You know, it's not hard either. It's natural in professional wrestling.
You mentioned being Matt Classic, and I was a fan of the Wrestling Society X show that wonderful talent appeared on. Being that there's another show on MTV2 and Trace right now called Lucha Libre USA, has Matt Classic been contacted at all to make another MTV2 appearance, or have you ever had contact with the Lucha Libre folks?
On his behalf. Yeah, I was supposed to be the original color commentator on the show.
As opposed to the two horrible guys they have right now?
Yeah,
I would have loved to have had you, believe me. I'm not saying anything bad about you. I would rather have had you and Matt Classic together doing the commentary than these two other guys.
Well, it was supposed to be me and Gary Michael Capetta. That was the original lineup. He was going to do play-by-play. Again, he's fluent in Spanish. You know, he's a Spanish teacher. And I was going to be color commentator. And we just couldn't get together on contract or business deals. So... we just decided to kind of go our separate ways for the time being. Hopefully, you know, there's a spot open, but the way they do business really doesn't work in my same way, so I'm not sure. Unless they lighten up a little bit, I doubt you're going to see Colt Cabana or Matt Classic there.
We had Kevin Kleinrock on a few weeks ago, who was involved with Wrestling Society X, and he talked about the highs and lows of that company, talked about Matt's idolatry and his success with Evan Bourne now and your success in ROH. Take fans through stuff that they may not have realized about it, because that show was very unique to the effect that the audience itself had to bring headshots to even be entered into the building. Were you comfortable working with an MTV half hour, a heavily edited show, or were you, you just did it because you got asked by the promotion?
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, when somebody comes to you with money and an opportunity to be on MTV, you know, for the most part, as an independent contractor, you're going to take it as long as they don't try to screw you over. But in saying that, when I got there, I had a blast. It was so much fun. And whether the fans had headshots or they were paid extras, at the end of the day, they're real people. And, you know, I think we actually really, you know, emotionally got them involved because... And I say that because the matches were awesome in my mind. You know, there's an exception of a couple, but guys like Teddy Hart and Jack Evans and you know, Joey Ryan and Disco doing the 70s team. And there's just so, you know, Ruckus, Baby Slim and Abercrombie or Josh Raymond and Nate Webb. It was such a fun tag team show. The Human Tornado was spectacular on that thing. So we really got them involved, I feel, the audience. So whether, you know, they were paid or not, at the end of the day, they're normal human beings. They have normal human reactions like everybody else. You know, it's just a shame that MTV never got behind it. There's no advertising. They wouldn't put us on any of their shows. They didn't, They literally spent zero money on advertising the show and promoting it. So, you know, when that happens, zero promotion, you know, no, you could have the best wrestling in the world, and if nobody knows about it, it's not going to be successful. You could have, if you got the best show in the world, if nobody knows about it, it's not going to be successful. You know, Family Guy is case in point. You know, Family Guy went off the air, and it just, you know, because, you know, nobody knew about it or whatever, and then here comes this giant rage of people buying DVDs, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, we should put this back on, and now they've made trillions of dollars, so...
877-588-9877, option one is the way to join us on All My World of Wrestling Radio with ROH Superstar Colt Cabana. You can also join us in the Wild Talk Radio chat room like Jersey Girl did and wants to know, Colt, what were your feelings being Scotty Goldman in World Wrestling Entertainment? She personally felt that you were used wrong. What were your feelings on being in World Wrestling Entertainment?
I don't know. I mean, the match I had with Cena was okay. I didn't really want to lose to The Undertaker. But politically, you know, he had a lot more stroke than I did. So, you know, that's just what happens. I thought my tag team run with Kung Fu Naki was cut short. That one match we had against Kozlov. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a fun experience being up there and being a contracted wrestler on television. Maybe next time it'll go a little more successful, you know.
Now, Colt, this is Spug. How are you doing, man?
Hey, Spug.
Yes. speaking of former promotions, you were a former IWA Mid-South Heavyweight Champion. And
correct.
You lost your title to... you won the title over Eddie Guerrero and CM Punk. What was it like being in the ring with Eddie Guerrero?
That match in particular was in Dayton, Ohio, in front of about 40 people. Crazy. Eddie Guerrero had just, you know, gotten fired. And when we talk about promotions, how MTV didn't put any money into promotion, Ian Rotten had one of the greatest wrestlers in the world, and he didn't put any money into promotion. And he got 40 people in Dayton, Ohio, and he promoted a three-way match with me, Eddie Guerrero, and CM Punk. And it was great to be in the ring with him, you know, but I'm an entertainer. I'm not looking just to be excited to be in the ring with a guy. I'm looking excited for the whole thing. And, you know, I wanted a good big crowd and to work off them, but it really wasn't there. So that aspect was disappointing. You know, to be in the ring with Eddie was cool. And Punk, you know, I wrestled a million times. But it would have been nicer to have a nice big crowd to enjoy that moment.
We actually have a follow-up in the chat room. You had mentioned The Undertaker. One of our people joining us via the Ustream area wants to know why does Colt feel like he should have beaten The Undertaker?
Ah, come on, that was a joke. I didn't wrestle The Undertaker.
I don't know. I guess the chat person didn't watch it at all. I don't understand. I have to read them as they write them, so to speak.
I had six matches and I a couple battle royals. I don't think I wrestled The Undertaker.
Alright. For fans that are aware of it, I have met you several times, and one of my last times with FCW was when you and the the Ohio Valley guys came to Florida. Take us through that transition from Ohio Valley to FCW, and if there were any differences in the training regimen that they were using at OVW as opposed to what Steve Kern and Tom Pritchard and friends had over at the camp down by the Tampa MacDill Air Force Base.
I loved FCW, really, actually, a lot more than OVW. Unfortunately, there wasn't as many shows going on, but just in terms of the trainers and the idea to just please what WWE wanted, I really felt that was the better attitude to have as a developmental territory, as opposed to OVW, who didn't even have any contact. Like, they were the WWE developmental system, but they had zero contact with what WWE wanted or what they were looking for. And it seemed like they were trying to do their own thing, and they weren't really interested in what WWE wanted out of their talent. So in saying that, when we got to Florida, it was like Steve Kern and Dusty Rhodes had a direct line to creative and to the head of talent. And so, you know, it was easier to kind of get called up. You know, I was in OVW for for, you know, about a year, and there was not even an inkling of getting called up. And then I got to Florida, and I was able to have a good line of communication. And, you know, I was in Florida about 4 months until I finally got my call up. And you know, I credit that to Steve Kern and Dusty Rhodes and Tom Pritchard and Billy Kidman, you know, having their heads on a little more straight when it came to the system and developmental than they did at OVW.
He is Cole Cabana joining us here. You can go to his website, as he mentioned. We'll have him mention it again in a couple minutes there. He is able to be found on Twitter, on Facebook. You can check out all his stuff on ROHWrestling.com. You've been featured a few times on the new show that's been on HDNet. Thoughts on being on TV weekly with ROH? Do you think it was, for someone that's been with the organization, because you go back to when Gabe Sapolsky was running things with the Second City Saints gimmick and all that stuff, are you happy that it went from the weekly, the DVDs, the try and pay-per-view that's now gone to the iPay-per-view? Do you think TV is a positive step for ROH?
Well, it wasn't a hard transition at all. I'd just been doing weekly TV with OVW in Florida and WWE for 2 years, you know. So the transition then to walk right into Ring of Honor television wasn't hard at all. And I actually liked it, you know. You know, when you get fired from WWE and then you go back to the independents, it's like you go back to no man's land. So I was a little more comfortable knowing that I had television to go back to, which was nice. Yeah, I think the step towards television is the right one. And I think this, you know, it's about getting yourself out there and being known by more than just a couple thousand, you know, internet fans. You gotta get as many heads and as many eyes you can on the product for them to judge you and just to think whether they like you or not. You know, if you have 2,000 fans who rapidly love you, or you have an opportunity to have 2 million people look at you and maybe, you know, only 6% like you, but that's still more than 2,000 fans. So it's better odds on television playing that card than it is just, you know, in a catalog distributing DVDs. But you were saying about my website, welovecolt.com is my podcast. It drops every Thursday. And I sell merchandise at coltmerch.com. I got t-shirts, buttons, pictures. Help support independent wrestling at coltmerch.com. I really appreciate that.
Another question from the chat room. Lenny Leonard has been a guest on your show and was curious Colt's thoughts on him being taken out of ROH TV and replaced by that ACC play-by-play guy. Is he Mr. Hodgewood, I believe his name is, that
Mike
works with Dave Prezak now?
Hogwood,
okay.
Hogwood, good thing you're paying attention, Alan. Hog is great. He's been doing it for, 30 years. He's done it all, and he's a throwback to, you know, like a Gordon Solie, you know, kind of Lance Russell character. Who those guys didn't come from wrestling, you know, they came from different backgrounds, and it almost makes for a more fun, realistic, you know, voice to the wrestling world. And saying that, I'm a big fan of Lenny Leonard, and I think Lenny is great. I felt he was really missed, especially on the DVDs, after I came back and I was listening to the DVDs. And I told Lenny that, how much he was missed. He's good at what he does. And he, you know, I saw, just like he probably saw me mature as a wrestler, I saw him mature as an announcer. You know, he was there for a long time. So he's doing really good things with Dragon Gate USA and Evolve. And I hope he keeps it up. And hopefully, you know, we can meet down the line someday in the future.
Now, Colt, I'm a big fan of your work in Ring of Honor. One of my favorite matches of yours is your match at Ring of Homicide with Kinkutaro. Brilliant sort of comedy match. But I'm just wondering, you're a guy who is very good technical-wise with his wrestling, but you also do amazing comedy. Do you find it hard to sort of keep a balance of the two, or are you sort of pushing to be booked one or the other?
No, it's what makes me different. It's what makes me, I'm versatile, I'm different, you know. Some people are only good at, some people are good at nothing. Some people are only good at one thing, you know. I like to think I have a hybrid of wrestling styles with the British technical and the comedy and also the brawling. I mean, you've seen this feud that's come out of myself and Generico and Steen and Carino and you know the people, some people with the remarks from the television show and the shows in Chicago and New York. I mean, we're losing pints of blood over this thing, and we're getting good feedback. So you know, I got so much to my repertoire, and I feel that's what makes me a different wrestler. And I'm not looking to separate myself. I make it one giant hybrid wrestling style, and that's how I'm different from everybody else, and proud of it.
Now, the other question I've got.
Sorry, Mace. Go ahead.
Let
man.
Him fire. Go ahead, Mace.
The other question I've got for you, just quickly, and I'm sure you've gotten this one a lot over the years, given your relationship with CM Punk, you know, going through the indies with him and getting into a lot of trouble, if I remember the shoot interview you guys did at one point. But I've got to ask, is CM Punk really straight edge?
Yeah, of course he is.
Now, I have a follow-up to your statement a few seconds ago about your feud with Steve Corino and Steen with El Generico, culminating at Glory by Honor 9 on September 11th, coming up here. We have a quote from Steve Corino last week who we interviewed, and I quote, "I hate his face. His nose is gigantic. I just want to punch it in." Do you have a follow-up to Mr. Corino on that? Or a rebuttal?
You know, he can say what he wants. He's been doing a lot of talking. And, you know, I'm a bigger man than that, and I'll do my talking in the ring. But at least I don't have a forehead that looks like a meat grinder, I'll tell you that much.
Now we all know we like to play, we like to have our fun. And it's a standard. It's become a standard question when we interview you guys on this show. Do you have a favorite rib that you have pulled on someone or seen pulled on someone or pulled on you?
Yeah, I got plenty of ribs. I'll tell you a fun one from this weekend. We're at the Gathering of the Juggalos, and Brian Christopher was a little out of it, you know. I'll just keep it at that. He wasn't himself, and they were doing a Taipei Death Match, and they had dumped a bunch of glass in this goldfish, you know, the Pepperidge Farm goldfish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a giant Pepperidge Farm goldfish box, and they dumped all the crushed glass that they had for the Taipei Death Match into the goldfish box. Well, Brian Christopher was so in left field. I offered Brian Christopher some goldfish, and he could have been happier to eat these goldfish. So I hand over the box, and I watch him reach into the box, reach into the glass, grab some, put some in his mouth, only to realize that they weren't goldfish, but clumps of broken glass in his mouth. And then his mouth started bleeding, and we all had a little bit of a laugh at that one.
We've got another chat room question from Jersey Girl Colt. I saw a year ago that you did a promo about kidnapping Ronnie the Rabbit. How many takes did it take for you to do that promo without laughing?
I'm a professional, man. I rocked that out, you know, no problem. One and done, they call me. So, but that was fun. Yeah, weird times in OVW. I think that's when OVW was dying and was about to be faded out. So that's kind of what happened.
I have an email question that came into radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. This came from Mike Liguori of Tampa, Florida. Said, Cole, I'm a big fan of your work in ROH, especially when you and CM Punk had your feud with the legendary Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I remember an event you did at Rebirth or Reborn where you mocked the dragon by bringing a replica of Richie Steamboat to the ring. How much fun was it, and any interesting stories you have about working with Ricky Steamboat?
Yeah, that was a blast. I remember that it was like the first time they were bringing Ricky Steamboat in, and he was supposed to be the ref for me and BJ Whitmer, but it got changed, and he was doing something with Punk. But I came out, I just remember WrestleMania 4. Remember, he was in that tournament coming down the stairs, in Vegas. And I had a karate gi, and I had a little Cabbage Patch doll that I pretended was supposed to be Richie Steamboat, just like when he brought him down to the ring. And then I got on the ring, and then I dropped the kid, and then and that was a lot of fun. I remember asking Ricky if that was okay that I did it. In hindsight, I should have just done it, but he was like, "Yeah, do what you want." And I was like, "Oh, that's nice of you, man. I appreciate that." And that was fun. That was a fun moment for me. And yeah, Ricky was really cool, man. He'd sit the whole locker room down and talk to you for about 20 hours. So it was nonstop a steamboat. He was very informative, very cool, good guy to have in the locker room.
I got another email question that pertains to, I warn fans that sometimes our guests will answer a question, won't answer a question. This came from Adam Levine of Aberdeen, Washington. Colt, wanted to get your opinion on the recent release of ROH booker Adam Pearce.
My personal opinion is it sucks. Adam's one of my best friends since the day I started wrestling. And, you never want to see your buddies get fired. You know, I really felt for Gabe at the time when he got fired. And I was in WWE at that point. But at that point, Gabe had become a really good friend of mine. And now the same thing. But, it's like when I was in WWE, I went through 2 years of that system developmental period and I saw a lot of guys called up or I saw a lot of guys get fired. So it's almost like, I've realized that people will get fired or people will be released or people will part ways. And the reality is that, it's just life. You'll go on, you'll find something good. Adam's a great guy, one of the best wrestlers I've ever been around, somebody that, really helped myself and CM Punk when we were younger. And, he's just my age, but he's been in like 15 years. He's really an unknown, untapped resource in the world of professional wrestling. And this is just the beginning, having a couple of years with the book. He's the NWA champion. We're doing a show August 25th in Hollywood, California for NWA Hollywood. You guys should check that out. We're doing TV tapings over there, and he's the NWA champion, so he'll represent NWA all over the world. And, things are just going up for Adam, so we'll move on. No problem. But, it's upsetting to see a friend, one of my best friends, get their release papers.
We've got two questions from the chat room that totally are extremely different. This came, what did Colt think about doing the web videos for WWE.com, and who is in charge of those tapings?
I talk a lot about that stuff. I did a sit-down interview when I got released that talks about really a lot of my WWF or WWE career. It's a sit-down interview. It's available at ColtMerch.com, and it's like 3 hours. All I do is talk about that. But to give you a little bit of insight, Joey Styles was very big in letting me keep that show and go on with it. And at the end, it was just as popular as the Dirt Sheet and Crime Times. And that's from Joey Styles' mouth saying that they were equal in ratings. So Here I was, a guy that had virtually no TV experience. They didn't push me at all. But I did have that internet buzz, so I had a lot of internet fans. The reality is that should have went on for a lot longer, but the people who I think released me didn't even know that I was doing that and that it was gaining popularity. So, it came to a stop. But that was really the catalyst for me starting my stand-up comedy. That was the catalyst for me getting back into acting. That was the catalyst for the Art of Wrestling segment I do on ROH on HDNet. And in turn, the catalyst for me starting the Art of Wrestling podcast that I do every Thursday at WeLoveColt.com.
Jersey Girl wants to know, it's a two-pronged question. If TNA Wrestling called tomorrow, would you sign a contract? And if you had full creative control over Colt Cabana, who would your first feud be with and why?
Well, TNA did call me, and they asked me to come down to do a match about a year ago. And the whole place was going crazy for me. I was very over. It was very exciting. They decided I wasn't for them, apparently. But that was a year ago. Maybe things have changed. I'm not really sure. I don't know who I'd like to wrestle in TNA. To be honest, I think the Motor City Machine Guns are two of the best wrestlers in the whole world right now. And I realize that they're a tag team, but they're the most exciting thing. When I watch TNA, that's what I look forward to be honest, is to watch them. And maybe I can get a partner and take it. I loved Eric Young when he was goofy. Maybe Colt Cabana can bring back a goofy, fun-loving Eric Young.
He is Colt Cabana. Thanks to ROHWrestling.com for him being a guest on our show. You can join us via 877-588-9877. If you're in our chat room, keep asking questions. If you're on the OWW Radio chat side of things, you can also ask questions there as well. He does have a Facebook page. You can find him by looking up Colt Cabana. He is also, I believe you have to enter the at sign and then Dr. Colt Cabana. He's got an awesome website, which I'm trying to get to load right now, but my wife's laptop's not. It's looking good. It's like half loaded, not loaded. It's called WeLoveColt.com. Before we let Spug grab a question here, this came from Jersey Girl, also in our chat room. She's been asking a few questions here. If you had had your choice when you were brought in to WWE, would you have liked to have stuck around to be reunited with CM Punk in the Straight Edge Society gimmick, or would you rather have not had your character ever mesh with Punk again?
I don't know. You know, it's an interesting question when you look at it. You know, on one thing, you want to say that you want to kind of do your own thing and become famous, you know, in wrestling, you know, on a different terms, but obviously that didn't work. And then on the other hand, you know, you'd love to go to work every day with one of your best friends in the whole world, the guy that you started with. So it's really, you know, you can look at each side differently. Yeah, I don't know. But maybe, yeah. So I'd love to be with Punk. I'd love to not be with Punk. I'd love to just be in wrestling and make some money.
Now, if you could go back through the annals of time or today, is there anyone that you would have loved to have had a program with? And who would it be?
You know what? I would say I'm such a fan of Junkyard Dog that when he feuded with Terry Funk, so like if I could take out Junkyard Dog and insert Terry Funk, and like the way Terry Funk would sell for a baby face and make him look like $1 million, and that's the kind of baby face I would be. I think he would be a real fun heel to go in a program with, where at first you could start out and, you know, he would bump all wild and crazy for you, and you could have fun, you know, silliness with him. And then eventually it gets really gory and bloody, you know, and that way I can kind of do everything I want, you know, all the ways that I love wrestling. We can kind of mix it all into one big thing.
We've got another email question at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. This comes from Jason in Tampa, Florida. Says, Colt was a fan of yours during your time in Full Impact Pro. Is there a possibility of ever seeing Colt Cabana back with FIP?
Yeah, I love wrestling in Tampa and in Florida, and I think, you know, I wrestled in FCW for a year there, and I was very popular when I got released. I know the whole arena was chanting my name, and Dusty Rhodes was very upset at that. So I think there's a following for me down in Florida, and I'd love to wrestle for FIP again. It's just been a long time, and there's a lot of wrestling down there in Florida now, and it seems like it's kind of getting saturated. So
Yeah, because you made an appearance, I believe, for Sin Bodhi's CCW. That was the last time I actually seen you in person, because you said you were going to do a comedy event or another show that weekend. So it was kind of a nice surprise to see you back in Florida.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was in a weird part of town, and I don't know. It was interesting. But I think FIP is the right place for me to kind of come back and tear up Florida again. You know, unfortunately, I think during FCW, they're watching some of those wrestlers, those football players trying to be wrestlers, and, you know, if they want some good wrestling, maybe, you know, check out Full Impact Pro.
Oh, excuse me, my microphone was muted. I was getting ready to talk, and my bad. I have a kind of interesting, weird question for you. With so many individuals trying to get into the business now, and a lot of them doing about it the wrong way, what piece of advice is someone who's been pretty much all over the world, been to WWE, been contacted by TNA, been with ROH, What piece of advice would you have for those trying to get into the business and make it to be successful?
You know, I say this, get in and do as many shows as you can and realize that that first 5 years is just going to be a learning process. And then when you really got the art of the wrestling down, then it's time to find yourself a gimmick, find yourself a niche. How are you going to be different? What can you offer to the world of wrestling to be different so you stand out? And when you stand out, then your wrestling has to show for itself. So that's where that 5 years of learning of wrestling comes in. But to me, the key is to be different. How are you going to be different from everybody else? And that's the key to all of professional wrestling, I feel. That's the key to life, folks. You heard it here first. My key to life is to be different. And speaking of different, Alan, I'm doing improv comedy every Wednesday night at the Comedy Sports Theater in Chicago, Illinois. It's free, absolutely free. If you're in Chicago and you come to CSZChicago.com, I do a wrestling-based improv show, me and my team of veteran Chicago improvisers. It's a fun time. It's a blast. It's absolutely free at CSZChicago.com. Come on and enjoy the show and enjoy some Chicago improv while you're at it.
We've got two email questions. One, actually, I was saving and hoping you would bring this up. Being from Chicago, this came from, funny enough, somebody named Andrew, wants to know, being a Chicago person, have you ever watched the TV show on TBS called My Boys, where a girl plays a beat writer who covers Chicago Cubs, and how do you feel Chicago is portrayed in movies and TV shows?
Yeah, I used to watch My Boys. Then when I moved to Louisville, I didn't have DVR anymore, so I really stopped watching a lot of different programs. But I enjoyed how they, you know, I always enjoy Chicago Love, Chicago Pride. I live right here in the heart of Chicago, Illinois, and it's always a blast to represent my city as a professional wrestler when I travel the world. That this is my town, Chicago, and you know, I don't know. The Fugitive, that was Chicago. Well, let's see. High Fidelity was filmed right by my house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's good. That store was right by my house. And a bunch of, you know, I guess, I don't know. Henry Rowan Gardner, he represents Chicago well, doesn't he?
All right, I just have one last question for you, Mr. Cabana.
Yep.
You are a Chicago native, so Cubs... Incorrect. Or White Sox?
I'm a Cubbies boy. I realize the Cubs are what they are. We're never going to win a World Series. We're never going to be winners. But, you know, I grew up on Chicago Cubs. That's what I know. That's who I support. I don't jump on any other bandwagon. I go to Wrigley Field. I support my team. They lose for the most part, but I'll keep supporting them.
Like, you mentioned going to Wrigley. Who's the worst person you've ever heard do the seventh inning stretch?
Oh, God. I was there when Ozzy Osbourne did the seventh inning stretch. It was awful.
And that was horrible. Or it was good?
Go YouTube. Awful.
It was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
Okay, who's done the best one if you've ever been at a game? Who's been the best? Because I know Cusack's done it a few times. Ditka's done it.
I was there the other day, and Jim Belushi did a real good one. You know, he understood it. Bill Murray also does a really good one too. So I've seen those two do the seventh inning stretch real well. They're on tune. They know it. They've listened to it all their lives, so they know exactly how it goes. The spirit of Harry Carey lives through Chicago comedians.
This came from actually our big boss on the WTR network. Tim Stein wants to know: has Colt ever thought of getting involved as a promoter or a backer of an indie fed from behind the scenes?
A backer? Who's going to back me? I don't have any money. I'm fucking broke. Oh, pardon my language. No, man. You know what? I believe I have a really good mind for wrestling. I've been doing this a long time, but I have no interest in promoting or booking or anything. As long as I can continue to wrestle and perform and entertain, I feel that's where I was born to be, in the middle of the ring, to entertain the people. Feel that I'm good at it, and that I've learned my craft, and I enjoy doing it. So as long as that's as my legs and back and neck will hold up, that's where you'll see me.
All righty. We're going to let our guest go. Well, we have one more question from the room. Jerzica wants to know if you had stayed in WWE and were asked to be a part of the NXT show, who would you choose as your pro and why?
Vince McMahon.
Because, just because he's Vince McMahon, or you just...
Exactly, man. He's gonna know exactly what to do and what not to do.
Hey, if you're in the new the Philadelphia area, it is this weekend.
Let me do this. Hey guys, we're coming to the arena in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, formerly the ECW Arena, August 20th and 21st. That's this Friday, this Saturday. ROHWrestling.com for tickets. We are taping HDNet Television, which you can see every Monday night on HDNet. That's 8 o'clock Eastern. HDNet is your television channel that you will be watching Ring of Honor. I will be in NWA Hollywood this Wednesday, August 25th. NWAHollywood.com for more information. August 27th and August 28th, Ring of Honor returns to Richmond, Virginia and Charlotte, North Carolina, respectively. ROHWrestling.com for more information. September 11th, we are on GoFightLive.tv. It's the iPay-per-view, internet pay-per-view. It is sold out in the Manhattan Center in New York City, but you can watch it on your pay-per-view, on your computer, GoFightLive.tv. Watch me in Chicago, Illinois, every Wednesday for free, absolutely free, at CSZChicago.com. That's the Comedy Sports Theater in Chicago. Every Sunday night, check me out on SundayNightStew.com. Do you guys remember Stu Stone from Blowing Up? With Stu Stone on MTV, him and Jamie Kennedy rapped about Bob Saget. Well, he's got an internet show on Sunday nights, SundayNightStew.com. I'm going to be on there usually every Sunday. It's a lot of fun. If you guys want to support me in my world, in my job, in my life to not get a day job and not get push any papers, then please buy some merchandise, some pictures, some buttons, anything, you know, a T-shirt, ColtMerch.com. And if you want, every Thursday I drop a podcast, me and a different wrestler from a different place in the world. Every week we get together and we talk. That's at WeLoveColt.com, WeLoveColt.com, or you could just go to iTunes, find the Art of Wrestling podcast with Colt Cabana, and subscribe, and it will come to your iTunes every week automatically. You don't have to do anything. It just goes right to you. I'm on Twitter at Dr. Colt Cabana. That's my Twitter account. You'll find all my silliness and jokes that I write throughout the day. And, again, if you have any questions for me, why don't you contact me at ColtWrestling@gmail.com. ColtWrestling@gmail.com. And I'll answer all your fun questions if you can't be my friend on Facebook, because I have over 5,000. And I can't add any more, so I don't know what to do. Those are my plugs. We really appreciate it. ROHWrestling.com. Thanks, guys, for all the fun and talking a little bit of wrestling. And now I'm off to go do some improv comedy over in Chicago.
Excellent. Check out all those fun spots for Colt Cabana. Thanks so much for joining us, Cole. Have a good weekend in Philly.
All right. See you guys.
All right. After the break, we are going to try to get him a few minutes early. We're going to see if we can get Kenny King in here early. No, we can. He's telling me he needs to wait till the top of the hour. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back here on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
You never say hey or remember my name, and it's probably because you think you're cooler than me. You got your highbrow shoes on your feet, and you wear them around like it ain't shit. But you don't know the way that you look when your steps make that much noise. Shh, see, I got you all figured out. You need everyone's eyes just to feel seen. Girl, you're so vain. You probably think...
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hook me up a new revolution, 'cause this one is...
On September 11th, Ring of Honor returns to Internet pay-per-view with Glory by Honor 9, live from New York City, streaming worldwide on GoFightLive.tv, featuring Tyler Black, Christopher Daniels, Kevin Steen, Colt Cabana, The Kings of Wrestling, Roderick Strong, Steve Corino, El Generico, and more. Glory by Honor 9, September 11th, GoFightLive.tv.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
This is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Colt Cabana for joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Check out all the fun places that he mentioned. Welcome back to New Music Night here. And yet that guy really did water ski naked from what I was told by people. Just totally blew my mind. Like, you win, your country wins the World Cup and you water ski naked. Not a chance. Never going to happen in this life. That's Enrique Iglesias' new song called I Like It. This is interesting. This came across the wire a few minutes ago. We're told, this came from Wrestling Observer Newsletter, that since we had brought up Lucha Libre USA, and we also mentioned it with Colt Cabana, Mace found this for us. We're told that a number of wrestlers are currently signed with Lucha Libre USA Mass Promotion, already looking for a way out. Okay, that's a little scary. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter is also reporting that many of the talent were promised more bookings than they are getting right now. They do have a show, I believe, the 28th in Charlotte. And I think they announced on TV Friday night they have a date. I think it's September 5th or 9th in Corpus Christi, Texas. Does this scare either one of you? I mean, they just announced, they just signed Amazing Kong and they just got Carlito in there. Does this bother either one of you? Or is it like, okay, MTV's pat? Cause MTV's obviously right now, it seems like when we brought this up with Marco Corleone, it seems like they're happy just doing TV tapings. If you're running this show, Spug, and you're running it, does this freak you out reading this right now? Where you're like, oh great, the ship's sinking already, we're not even 2 months in.
don't know if it necessarily scares me, but it is a bit of a it is a bit of a warning sign, I would say, because if you look at it, if you look a little into it, you got talent that's already willing to jump ship, then you're doing something wrong in the back, or you know, maybe you got a little bit of ECW syndrome and checks aren't clearing.
Your thoughts on this, Mace, since you're the one who brought it to us, what are you thinking here? Are you thinking like he is, or are you thinking, okay, this is just people trying to stir up the business, Hulk Hogan style?
Could be a bit of both, but you never know with the way things are going. They could have turned around and gone, oh my god, we're on another WSX, we're gonna die! Sorry, I was not a fan of that promotion.
I was a fan of it to a degree. Let's say I was more a fan of listening to the behind-the-scenes commentary that Kevin Kleinrock and Keith Lipinski and all those folks did. Like I said, their next date, I believe, is the 28th in Charlotte. We are trying with them to get some guests on the show in the near future. And we do appreciate everyone for tuning in this night and every Tuesday night. Steve Corino's interview last week drew a lot of attention and got us some pretty good reviews on the podcasting, which you can find us at clickwrestle.com. You can also, like Colton mentioned, he's got a thing on iTunes. We're also on iTunes. We're looking to expand this out even further along. I was going to tease it later on in the hour, but this Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio goes back to their 10 o'clock hour, and if Sorokin can type it in for me or not, is the great debate going, is that now the final four? Because I believe it's Ric Flair, Sting, Hulk Hogan, and who is the fourth? Is it Vader is the fourth
Van
in that
Vader
match? So it's Big Man Vader, Hulk Hogan, Sting, and Ric Flair. Don't you wish back in the 90s that had been an actual pay-per-view somewhere, just a four-way match between those guys? That would have been interesting just to see that backstage being booked with Hogan and Flair's egos and Vader. Depending on what stories you hear, he was either someone that didn't like his feelings being hurt. Shawn Michaels testifies, Jim Cornette testifies to that on his DVD that he did with Kayfabe Commentaries. And if I know Sorokin saw it, and I'm not 100% sure. Have you seen the U shoot with Dixie Carter yet, Mace? Did you get it fed to you?
I have not got that yet, so I'm waiting.
Right, I know Spug's only watching WWE Online right now. If you get a chance to check this DVD out, I will have a full review of it on onlineworldofwrestling.com in a couple days. Just because had to go through getting my daughter ready for back to school and finishing up her Blonde Ambition tour this summer, which was a lot of fun. She went everywhere in the United States. If you like fiction or you like great storytelling, this DVD may be for you. Because if you're expecting Dixie Carter to face an onslaught of ammunition and haters, wow, they definitely didn't come to this DVD, and Sorokin will testify to that if he talks about it on his CB radio show, which can be heard on this network on Saturdays at midnight-ish, as it's called. Their next release with kayfabecommentaries.com, I believe, is an additional DVD to the U shoot with Jim Cornette. So definitely check that out if you get the chance. Before we go to break, I know these guys talk about it on Wednesday night. That's the Otaku Talk Live, folks. And I have to say before you go to break, yeah, saw Expendables, but also got to witness my movie of the year right now. There's a lot of movies that I have not seen, but right now the best movie of 2010, thanks to Mace recommending looking at stuff, was Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. It didn't fare great at the box office, kids, but get your butt off your couch, plop down your money, and go check this movie out. From the opening scene till the end, you will have a blast. It'll be better than what you've watched the last couple Sundays on pay-per-view. either one of you have seen this film yet? Have you, or are you just like, I don't care, I read the graphic novel?
I've not read the graphic novel, and I haven't gone and seen the movie yet, but we're going to. I believe this weekend the wife and I are going.
Oh, it's awesome.
So I'm kind of looking, I am a Michael Cera fan. So, like, I liked him in Juno, and I liked him in Year One. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, so Mace is the one to turn me on to it. Yeah, Mace is the one to turn me on to it, so you definitely check Scott Pilgrim out. I've stalled really well for the last 9 minutes, and I appreciate all of you for putting up with it, because we had to wait for Kenny King's time to come free, and it looks like he will be free at the top of the hour, so if you're in our chat room, stay tuned. He will be taking your questions in a moment or two here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back in a moment.
Oh, yeah. So scared of breaking it that you won't let it bend. And I wrote 200 letters I will never send. Sometimes these cuts are so much.
Over the past year, WrestleTalk Radio has held many great debates. We have determined who's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time.
Remember this! Nobody beats Mr. Perfect!
And even the greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
I can't understand! Can Shamrock stop it! Stop it right now!
Starting July 4th, WrestleTalk Radio goes down south to find the all-time greatest WCW champion. It's the WTR Great Debate. Hear how it goes down every Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Now bring mine up on it!
In case you missed it, this is what happens when you tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Mrs. Carino is on Online World of Wrestling Radio?
She sure is.
Oh my God, this is awesome! So, Mom, you got any questions for your son that you want to air some funny stories about him?
Oh, there's so many stories I can tell you that it's just, it would take hours.
Are they going to make steam come through? I don't want to turn blue.
I have a question for Mrs. Carino.
Okay.
I have a picture of me when I was about 4 years old in a pair of yellow rain boots, yellow underwear, and a bandana doing the Hulk pose. It's in a photo album somewhere. Do you have any embarrassing photos of him?
of Steve that you can tell us about?
Nope. Well, it's not so much embarrassing, but there was a contest one time.
Liar.
And it seems that him and his buddy dressed up like the Rock and Roll Express. Well, they didn't win the contest, but years later, I ran into Ricky Moore. He was going to be at this show, so I took the picture with me. He just about died. Sorry.
By the way. Remember to tune in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesdays, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Farm Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
Welcome back to the third hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. I know I'm never getting a show in under 2 hours, and I don't care because I score the most awesome guests in the world. This guy was not even on my radar to do an interview because I was like, yeah, I want to have him on, but he's a friend. And people will be like, oh, we only did your show because he's a friend. And it's like, the heck with it. You want to join this? 877-588-9877, option one. If you're a Skype user, type in Sir Rockin and add him, because we have, he's been in TNA, he's been in WWE, he's been in FIP as a member of the YRR, he's been in ROH as a member of the YRR, and currently he tag teams with a former guest of ours, Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus, as the All Night Express, and the gentleman we had on in the last hour, Colt Cabana, is actually going to be facing him on August 27th at the Raceway Complex in Richmond, Virginia, as a part of Tag Wars 2010. Welcome the natural Kenny King to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Good evening, sir.
Wow, you make me sound so accomplished there, Alan, like I've done so
you
much.
You are, dude. That's the thing. Nobody, you don't buy it. Every time I sit with you and do interviews, you're just like, why do you want to talk to me? And I'm like, you're Kenny King, dude.
Well, you know, I mean, if you're a pretty girl, I can understand why you want to talk to me, but, you know, that's cool, too.
And the last interview, one of the last interviews I did with him, were outside the Orlando Ale House, and this is when he was working with TNA, and it's funny, because I typed out, I have this habit of typing everything that comes into the chat. So we've got Jackie Gay to Haas and Charlie Haas saying goodnight to us. He's got these random girls. He's marking out to random girls. Some of these questions may be a little...
Way around. I think are marking out for me, man.
Alright, the most popular question, as soon as I announced that you were going to be on the show, the most popular question that got emailed to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com was your association with the YRR and your tag partner in that group, the gentleman who we talked about earlier in the evening, being Chasen Not Cocky Rance. I know it was legal implications. You may be not be able to talk about it because you may be called as a witness, but what are your thoughts on when you first heard this?
I wasn't... let's just say that... obviously it shocked, but it was just one of those things that... You know, you never want to see any of your friends get in any kind of trouble or anything like that. Chase and I are still friends. And I just... It's very unfortunate, and I hope that he comes out on the other side of it all right.
It's just a very sensitive topic because, as I said, you just kind of sit there going, what the? Jason did what?
Yeah. It's an extremely sensitive topic. And, you know, I mean, the case is still ongoing. So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to make any, I don't jump to any conclusions. I've talked to Chase about it. He's kind of given me the rundown on what the situation is. And I mean, it doesn't really look good for my boy, but you know, Chasen is one of those dudes, a very resilient dude. So, you know, I'm sure he'll find his way up out of this one.
We talk legends sometimes on the show and we have current stars and future stars like yourself on. For fans that aren't aware of it, after Tough Enough 2 ended, you actually returned home to Las Vegas and trained under two very unique gentlemen. This got emailed by Mike Ligori of Tampa, Florida, and said, what was it like to, after being trained on Tough Enough by Al Snow and the crew, to go and be trained by former AWA world champion Nick Bockwinkel, and what did you take away from it?
Well, you know what? Tough Enough definitely got my feet wet. Tough Enough was an amazing experience, and it definitely gave me the love for the business that I still have. But you know, there were still some things that I didn't know. I mean, we trained for 13 weeks. Anybody who's in professional wrestling knows that after 13 weeks, you're not ready to you know, step in the ring and work a serious match or any of that. So I was really fortunate. I was really blessed to, I was actually contacted by, I don't even know if you guys even remember this guy, but, it was Johnny Riggs. He was actually in FCW under, Dylan Klein, who him and his brother were still really good friends. And he's the one that contacted me about coming to the school. And I really feel like that's where I got my proper training, in professional wrestling. But, you know, Nick would be there. Nick would help us on our promos. Nick would always just be there, and Nick would always concentrate on stage, on in your ring presence, and just the intangibles and things that made him such a great champion is really what he kind of tried to pass on to us.
Kenny, this is Spug. I've asked this of guests before, and I wrestle sometimes in the Ohio area, Northeast Ohio in general, and I've gone through it. Mace who's with us as a wrestler out of Australia. We all have our favorite drills that we like to do in training and our least favorite drills that we like to do in training. What were some of your favorite drills to do in training? What were some of the ones that you just hated doing?
The one that I absolutely hated the most is it's the one that actually started in Tough Enough. It was the blow-up drill where you would, how did it go? It was probably about 3 minutes long where you start with lock up, headlock, takeover. I think it's like two hip tosses, two shoulder tackles, and then you go into a sequence where, two leg sweeps, kick out, two leg sweeps, you kick out, and then you shoot the guy across the ring and in the corner, and then you up and over. It's just blow up drills. It's just, there's so much motion, so much movement. And it's nonstop. It's like, you know, when you're really in a ring, everything's going on and the movement is so fluid and it has to happen right then and there. It's not like when I play football where you get 30 seconds in between downs to kind of gather yourself and then, okay, by the time second down's here, you kind of got your breath. For wrestling, it's not like that at all. So that was my least favorite when I first started training because, I mean, it was just nonstop on the go, go, go. And, I think my favorite drills, unless I did drills. I think actually my favorite drill to this day is when we first started learning how to take the hip tosses. And that was kind of how me and Bob Holly got to be pretty, I wouldn't say close because Bob Holly will punch you in the face if you ever say that, you know, he likes you or anything like that. But that was our thing, like, see how high he could toss me up in the air on a hip toss. And I think that even became Tough Enough wallpaper. Like I was 6'4", and I was easily, you know, I was at the end of his arm in a hip toss. I was easily like 7.5, maybe 8 feet in the air in a hip toss.
He's 6'4"?
Yeah.
He really doesn't look that big on TV, to be honest with you. I mean, he doesn't look 6'4".
Bob's, yeah. It's my recollection of Bob's. I mean, he might be 6 foot three and a half, but he's, you know, he's every bit of 6 foot three.
Speaking of tough enough, I'm sorry, I have a follow-up. A few years ago, a young man by the name of Daniel Pewter had won the competition.
Uh-huh.
And we saw him in the Royal Rumble just get absolutely obliterated by Bob Holly and Chris Benoit with the chops in the corner. During your days in Tough Enough, when you weren't on the air with the television product, did you see Bob Holly just get into anybody like that, like he did to Pewter? And were you ever on the receiving end of that?
Yeah, Bob Holly kicked my ass on TV. It was the episode where we had kind of gone out and partied and got drunk and we were actually doing, like, I think a shoulder tackle drills, and Bob kind of completely flipped the script and, like, threw me on the ground and pinned me and kind of kicked my ass a little bit. But that's just kind of Bob. Like, Bob, I think if Bob likes you, he's going to beat the hell out of you. And that was, you know, it's kind of commonplace. He's just that dude. He's kind of shows his he shows his love and appreciation for you through physical violence. So, but yeah, then and when we went to Raw, I think is when, and he actually beat the hell out of Frankie Kazarian in front of us to kind of send a message to us. But that was a long time ago. But yeah, Bob, that's Bob Holly, man. Like it was an everyday thing.
He is Kenny King. Join us in here. Thanks to ROHWrestling.com. Well, actually, forget it. I set this up so they can go and
give yourself some credit, Alan. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. 877-588-9877. Option one is a way to join us here. You can also talk to us through our Wild Talk Radio chat room. Jersey Girl wants to know if you were ever offered a reality show from the current crop that's out there, which one would you accept and why?
Wow. I know it probably sounds stupid, but I hate reality TV. I hate it. I would really like to punch the situation in the face from Jersey Shore. Because I think it's mindless TV for the masses now. That may make some people pissed off at me, but, you know, in the beginning when there were, you know, there's certain good shows, like Ultimate Fighter's awesome, which is, I think, a direct descendant of Tough Enough, because all they did is just put MMA in place of pro wrestling. But, you know, you got stuff like, you know, the 400 Bachelor and the 400 Bachelorette. Like, I don't even know if I could see myself and put myself on parade to pretend like I like this girl that these other 20 other douchebags are trying to hang out with, too. So if I could put myself on I would put myself on Jersey Shore so I could kick the situation right in the mouth. Probably get kicked off. That's exactly what would happen. It would be a John Bradshaw straight boot to the grill, and that would be the it for Kenny King on Jersey Shore.
You just mentioned Ultimate Fighter. Have you ever thought of, because I know you're in Vegas, and I believe Randy Couture's got his camp based out of there. Has it ever crossed your mind going, yeah, that looks like fun, I think I might want to try it, or are you happy just being in professional wrestling?
Well, I'm very big in martial arts. I trained martial arts as a young kid. I was in Taekwondo. As I got older, I trained. I actually was in one of the very first Gracie Jiu-Jitsu schools in the United States. It was in Orlando, Florida. It was a Hickson Gracie school. And the mestre there was a guy named Marcelo Grosso. And I was the only guy in there that didn't speak Portuguese, so the lesson would be taught in Portuguese, and they would teach me by tapping me out and beating my ass. So I've always had respect for, you know, I've always liked UFC. I watched UFC 1 on tape when you couldn't even find it at Blockbuster. So I've always had respect for it. I really like the aspect of, you know, it's man on man. It's martial artist on martial artist. That being said, I really don't like getting punched in the face. So I kind of leave that to the pros.
Got a chat room question. They prefaced it, loaded question. What is one thing that Kenny would change about the writing in WWE, assuming you have free time to watch WWE?
I would just I don't watch it a ton. And one thing that I would have changed a long time ago has kind of been changing where, I would have set the old guard against the new guard. And that's kind of what they're doing with the Nexus storyline. They're setting a bunch of young, cocky dudes against the established stars of the WWE. So that was always my biggest thing. It just seemed like there's so much room. There's only so much room, on a card. And it just kind of seemed like for a while WWE was becoming TNA, where only guys were getting any kind of push, any kind of love, you know, with the exception of like a Kofi, or I mean Punk was going to make his own way regardless. Punk is that kind of wrestler, that kind of personality. But it just kind of seemed like, you know, before Shawn retired, it was just those guys that were getting the opportunities to show what they can do. I mean, you got guys like John Morrison, Miz. These are future Hall of Famers, man. These are really good wrestlers. And it just needs to be shown that they can hang with a Cena and they can hang with a Jericho. I just needed a shock.
I got to ask a follow-up because you ended it there. Does this Nexus group, you said they're cocky, doesn't this kind of think that one of the 65 writers WWE has went to ROH Wrestling or FIP's library and said, you know, this YRR gimmick, I think we could run with this. Does it feel that way from people may have told you? Because I don't know if you're able to watch the product as much as you'd like. Just from what you read about this Nexus thing, that they're arrogant and they feel they belong, does it smell like YRR to you?
Of course it smells like YRR. I was one of the founding members of YRR. That's exactly what it is. But with, you know, dudes that are 6'4", that's about it. I mean, really, the only reason I even watched NXT was because of Dragon. I really like Brian, and he was one of the guys that helped me a lot when I first got to Ring of Honor. So I was very excited to see him, you know, get the opportunity, and I was very excited to see him go back. But yeah, it's pro wrestling, man. If you watch, go back to old, you know, Jim Crockett, Smoky Mountain, and AWA, you'll see the same storyline. It's everything's recycling. You know, look at TNA. TNA is still stuck in 1997. So it's all the same thing. It's just different, you know, the characters just change.
And now, Kenny, I have another question for you. I do another show on this network called Wrestle Talk Radio, and recently we started doing a short debate segments just to kind of go over a topic here and there. As a wrestler of African-American descent, do you find it harder to get over with perhaps the individuals in the back and make a name for yourself because of prejudices and things like that that exist within the business?
That's a deep question. When I first got to TNA, I had a long conversation, and this is why to this day I still look up very much to Devon Dudley, or Brother Devon, or whatever the hell they call him in TNA. But I had a long conversation with Devon and Ron Killings. Just kind of, you know, Devon's been all over the world. Devon is a decorated, you know, professional wrestler, and Ron is too. Ron's the first and only, I believe, black NWA heavyweight champion in the world.
Ron Simmons won it first.
Did he really?
Yes.
He won the WCW belt, different belt.
I was gonna say, I think that was WCW. I don't think that was NWA at that time.
I thought he was still NWA when he won it, but my bad if I'm wrong.
Well, it could be, if I'm wrong, then it could be, either one of us is wrong, and, you know, this is for argument's sake, what's to say to you, but, I'm not gonna say that it isn't something that you deal with, but I think it's way less now than it was coming up when guys like Ron Simmons and Butch Reed and Ernie Ladd and, you know, the guys who were the pioneers for black wrestlers in sport. I mean, those guys had to deal with it from the fans, they had to deal with it from the boys, they had to deal with it from the office. It is what it is, obviously. I mean, you don't want to say that it doesn't exist, but you don't want to act like it. You know, somebody. My dad always said, for somebody to hold you down, they got to sit on you 24 hours a day. Sooner or later, they got to get up and go to the bathroom. When they go to the bathroom, you run like hell. So, you know, there's no such thing as somebody holding you down. Does it exist? Probably. You know, because people are gonna have their opinions and they're gonna have the way they feel about, you know, people of different colors, people of different creeds, regardless of whatever. So you could be working at Wendy's or, you know, bagging groceries at Safeway, and it'd be the same thing. If your manager doesn't like you because you're black, then you're always going to be bagging groceries. So I've always just wanted to let my ability speak for itself. And if my ability gets me to a certain point where, you know, I feel like I should be here and I'm not for whatever reason, then maybe I'll look at it a little bit closer. But is it? You know, it would be ignorant narrative for me to say, oh, no, it's not. It's not. It doesn't exist. But, you know, it's not something that goes through my mind every time I go to work.
Got a chat room question. Jersey Girl would like to know, with your appearance on FX's The Strip, would you like to do more acting and would you prefer to do an action movie like The Expendables that we just saw, we had talked about? Or could you see yourself in weekly episodic TV, not Monday Night Raw, Michael Cole, like a Two and a Half Men or How I Met Your Mother? Could you see yourself as a regular on a show somewhere?
Well, to be completely honest with you, that's the only reason I stuck with professional wrestling was because I've been acting since I was 8. And I kind of looked at it like, if I could go to L.A. and be one of the 10 million people that go out there to try to be a star, or you could do it the way that some of the guys in the business have done it, where if you have a fan base, I mean, anything. Look at Beyonce. Look at guys who've crossed over from all other aspects of entertainment. If you have a built-in fan base, then your fan base and whatever you're doing in that is going to want to see you in a movie. They're going to want to go see you in a movie, in a TV if you have that fan base. So yeah, that's actually my plan, is to use this thing, whatever it is that I've created, to get into acting, because that's, you know, it's such a big part of what we do. It would be an easy transition for me because I did that way before I became a wrestler. So, and I feel like I can do anything. I can do comedy, I can do serious, I can do action. You know, there's nothing that I can't do.
We asked Cole Cabana this question, and we figured since you are an ROH talent, we'd ask it of you. It came as an email question. If you have an opinion on Adam Pearce's departure as ROH booker and the rumors that Delirious is going to be taken over creative.
In the interest of just being politically correct, I'll just say it doesn't make me very happy. I think that Adam is a dear friend of mine, and Adam did a great job in the face of everybody wanting to throw him under the bus. Oh, Ring of Honor's dead. Gabe is gone. They'll never get back to where they were when Gabe was gone. When Gabe was there, who, you know, Adam Pearce, when he's wrestling, and he stood there in the face of all that BS, and he's taken Ring of Honor in 2010 into one of our best years. If you've been a fan of Ring of Honor in 2010, then you've seen some of the best wrestling. Period. I'll put Death Before Dishonor up against any pay per view that anybody's produced at all this year. What else was a great show? I mean, some of our shows have been so good this year, and you can put those up against house shows, TV shows, anywhere. And that is a large part of that is due to Adam and his creative mind and his stories. See, talking to you guys, I didn't get the chance to talk to this beautiful lady that was sitting next to me, but I digress. But, you know, Adam, it was a huge part of that. You know, Adam really kind of took the reins. He really understood from a locker room perspective and from an office perspective what it was going to take to make Ring of Honor. I mean, Adam started our TV show. It was directly under Adam, and, you know, and special thanks to Dave Lagana, because Dave Lagana has been huge in our TV product. But we we re-signed for another year. Like, if the TV show was lousy, if the booking was lousy, the wrestling was lousy, then it would have never happened. So I think that Adam deserves a great deal of credit for the work that he put in during his time there. And I, for one, am very sad to see him go. As far as, you know, Delirious being the new booker, you know, that's all company biz. And until, you know, until Delirious himself comes out or Carrie, or I think Carrie did actually come out and say so. So, you know, I think Delirious has got a great wrestling mind. I don't think that Ring of Honor is going to sink under Delirious. I mean, hell, Delirious and Jim Cornette. I mean, it's not like we're going to your local backyard indie fed and pulling the dude that books those guys. We beat everybody who's had the reigns at Ring of Honor. Is their reputation speaks for themselves. So we're going to be just fine.
Jersey Girl in our chat room wanted to follow up on her acting question. I don't know if I want to ask this, but I'm going to. Do you think you could out-act current WWE superstar John Cena?
Is that a serious question?
I get these chat room questions, and I appreciate them participating, so I have to read it the way it's written. Do you think you can out-act John, I look like Marky Mark Wahlberg Cena?
I think, with no disrespect to John, because I think John's a great talent, and I think John is a great wrestler. But yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to have been in Expendables if Sly had called you up and said, I want to be a wrestler, be in here with Stone Cold, dude?
Are you serious? Hell yeah. What dude wouldn't want to make that movie? The Expendables? That's that as bad as everybody who's ever watched an action movie. That is their wet dream. Dolph Lundgren, Sly Stallone, Jet Li, Jason Statham. I can't remember the other dude's name for whatever reason. The Old Spice dude, and I love him because I used to watch him when he was T-Money.
Terry Crews.
Terry Crews. Remember when he was T-Money on the other the little fake wrestling show? I can't remember what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You remember what I can't remember what the name of the show was, but it was very rooted in wrestling, but it was kind of fake. I can't remember what it was.
That's okay.
But it was like Gladiator, American Gladiators meets pro wrestling. It's kind of what the gist of the show. But yeah, in a word, absolutely. I would have probably done it for free because that movie, I haven't seen it yet, but it looks amazing.
It was fun. It was definitely a fun one. Our producer's saying the show was called Battle Dome. Is that
Battle Dome, that's exactly the name of it. Battle Dome. No, that was it.
He is Kenny King of ROH's The All Night Express. I've been wanting to ask this question all night. What's it like being in the ring with, and you turn around and there's Addicted to Love Rhett Titus as your partner? Was it one of the two of you that came up with this duo? Was it Adam? Was it Carrie? Who came up with it? And what was the overall feeling then about the team?
It started in Montreal. I thought that we were going to go in the direction of teaming you with Kenny Omega, and which I still think would be a great tag team. So it started there, and Adam says, "You know what? Rhett is a great young kid. He's a great talent. You know, you don't really have a direction right now." Neither does Rhett. You guys both have real good charisma. Let's put you guys together for a couple of shows and see what happens. And that's kind of history, man. That the rest is history. Rhett is one of the hardest working dudes that I know. He's one of the guys that's always willing to learn. He always wants to listen. He always wants to get better. He's an amazing talent. He's young in the business. But Rhett Titus right now, put this on record, has the best drop kick in all of professional wrestling. And we work because we're the same, but we're not at all the same. Like Rhett's deal is Rhett, you know, he's got so much charisma. He's got his character's down pat. And you know, sometimes I have to stop, I have to not laugh or not smile because we're supposed to be kicking somebody's ass. But he's just so invested in what he's doing, and it works out so well. I mean, you know, Kenny King is all about flash and pizzazz, and Rex Titus is all about having a good time. And it just, it works out so well. We've got a really good run as a tag team. We're going to make a run at Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli here pretty soon. But, yeah, I love it. I wouldn't ask for another tag team partner. Sorry, Jason Blade.
Kenny, we ask this of every guest who comes on the show, and so now it's your turn to spill the beans. Last week, Steve Corino told us a story of Samoa Joe beating up some unfortunate young British wrestler who was in a rib. So now it's your turn to spill the beans. What is the best rib that you have seen pulled or had pulled on you?
Now, remember, that's a loaded question, because he was with the King of the Rivers, Al Snow, and Tough Enough, too, so he could go an hour just with this question, man.
Al had some great ones, and the Al's ribs are probably 3, 4, and 5 of my top 5, but the best rib I've ever seen, and I don't know if I hope somehow maybe Sabre Form there listen to this, because I love it to this day. El Generico had set Brian Danielson up with this girl. Some way, shape, or form, you know, El Generico had introduced Brian to this girl. And I can't remember where she lives or really even the particulars of the hookup, but so they, you know, they're talking. So Brian formulates this plan like maybe a month and a half in advance. So Brian tells the girl to start telling Generico, you know, on Facebook and through text, thanks for introducing me to this asshole. I can't believe you would introduce me to this guy. I thought I was your friend. You know, he's so conceited. He treats me so bad. This and that. So Generico's like, Brian? There's no way. Brian's the nicest guy in the world. No, he's an asshole. He calls me sometimes, and he doesn't call me, and I'm getting so fed up with him. I mean, so this is a month in the making. A month in the making. So we're on our way to TV when Brian's still with us, obviously. And Brian, I think it's me and Aries. It's actually me, Aries, Pierce, and Brian in the van on the way to TV. And Brian says, you guys have to completely keep this on the quiet, or we're going to rip Generico. So they have the girl come. The girl tells Generico that she's going to come to TV taping to talk to, you know, just to see him, because they're friends, and to confront Brian. So Generico says, listen, we don't want any problems. Just, you know, if you see him, let's just keep it cordial, because this is where we both work. She's like, okay, fine. So Brian get on it. So Brian tells her, okay, so after the show, meet me, you know, meet us backstage. And Brian goes, like, they spent almost 45 minutes going from store to store looking for one of those toy knives that goes in. You know, the ones, like, when you stab somebody, the blade actually goes into the, you know, one of those fake knives.
The spring-loaded knives.
Well, yeah, it's spring-loaded, exactly. So, show's over, and so now I know this is happening, so I'm not going anywhere. So, you know, people are kind of passing through. So, the girl comes backstage, she's talking to Generico. Brian walks out. She says, and there's that asshole right there. So Brian says, you know what, I'm really getting sick and tired of your crap. You know, every time I've been trying to be nice to you, but you know what? Forget it. I don't like you. I don't think you're attractive. I think you're just annoying. And he starts going on this tirade about her. And then so she kind of starts crying a little bit, then reaches into her purse, pulls out the gimmick knife, and stabs Brian. Now, everybody who's not in on this is like, what the fuck? Now, I've never seen, most of you have never seen Generico's face, but I've never seen Generico's face. He just completely, he grabs her. Are you crazy? Did you just stab Brian? And Brian's writhing. You know, he's curled up on the floor. He's rolling around on the floor. And he just grabs Brian. Brian! Oh my God, somebody get some help. He's yelling at the top of his lungs. Somebody grabs, oh, Zach, the security was in on it too, because Zach grabs her, ducks the knife out of her hand, runs her outside, and Brian's like, oh my God, I think I'm gonna die, I think I just ripped your ass. And Gennaro, like, loses it. He lost it. It was so amazing, because the execution usually does not meet up, you know, pay off with the setup. But it was perfect. The payoff was perfect. I mean, I thought that Gennaro was gonna for real pass out. Because he turned. He just didn't know what to do. He was so bewildered. And then Brian is playing it up so good. And then security runs and grabs her out. She comes in. That was the best ribbon I've ever seen. It was amazing.
Oh.
The night that Brian Danielson got stabbed by some random girl.
That's almost as good as Samoa Joe in 4-inch heels.
Karina last week talked about taking C.W. Anderson to some bar overseas, and a girl, one of the women that worked there, basically looked like a female version of Samoa Joe in 4-inch heels, and it's like, we were gone for like 5 minutes, trying so hard not to laugh. It's like, what the crap? An email question came in wanting to know, on any given basis or in your day or weeks or whenever, how much do you have any contact with your fellow Tough Enough 2 cast members? I know you had said to me before, you've talked with Hawk a couple times, and you talked with Pete recently, and Jackie Gatty you saw in TNA, but is there any camaraderie at all with them these days?
It would be Hawk or Pete. Like, I talked to Danny, on Facebook. The only ones that I've seen, Hawk lives in L.A., so he comes out to Vegas time to time. I'll go to L.A. When we're doing shows in New York or Jersey, Pete has come out. But outside of that, I mean, you know, and I still talk to Shad here and there. But other than that, I mean, it's not a whole... Oh, and Jesse. Jesse, she comes to the Boston shows. And, those are the ones that, since we've been talking, Alan, they're the ones that we've remained constant. Like, those are the ones that I'll probably be friends with forever.
Yeah, I remember meeting Jesse at TNA, and it was just like, this cute little girl. I just go, you trying to be a wrestler? Holy cow!
Well, that's what we thought, too.
Yeah, Jessie Ward was such a nice girl.
And she likes wrestlers, too. I'm like, what the hell is the matter with you? Why do you like wrestlers? Well, you know, that's my girl. She's actually was very instrumental in getting me into TNA. She put me in front of Jeff. She put me in front of Terry Taylor. And I'll always be indebted to Jessie for that. I was, you know, I hadn't seen Jessie probably in maybe 4 or 5 years at that point. She, you know, we picked up right where we left off. She's definitely one of my favorite people.
Chat room question, what was it like to face Mike the Miz Mizanin in California before he became the Miz you see on TV now?
I like Mike a lot. Mike is, at that point, Mike had a lot of respect for the business. I kind of thought he was going to be, you know, a real world reality dude, blah, 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 blah. But he had a lot of respect for the business. I thought it was great. I think we'd have a really good match now. I thought both of us were very young in our careers at that point. That was UPW in like 2003 or 2004. Chavo got involved in that match. It was two guys that were young in the business that had, you know, he had the MTV. It was billed as the battle of the reality TV stars and not the battle of, you know, good pro wrestlers. So neither of us were very good pro wrestlers at that point. But I think if we did it now, you know, you could probably turn a classic out of that.
Now, I am from Cleveland.
I'm sorry.
Please tell me. Hey, hey, hey.
Everybody does that to him.
Easy. I like this city a lot. But please tell me you stiffed the Miz at least 4 or 5 times in the mouth for us, because I can tell you, most people in Cleveland hate him. Legitimately hate him.
Even to this day, like, I don't go on Facebook at all ever, or MySpace rather, at all ever. But just the other day, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, I got an email from Mike, and, you know, hey, how's everything going? I haven't talked to you in a while, blah, blah, blah. Just a nice, genuine dude. Like, you know, so I've, even from that, since then, like, you know, we kind of kept in contact here and there. When I've gone to WWE shows, he's always been real cool with me. So there was no reason for me to knock him out.
Got an email question for you from Michelle LaRosa of Omaha, Nebraska. Wow, are people in the Midwest in that area listening to us? Thought of Kenny recently watching Travel Channel's Bert the Conqueror when he visited Las Vegas. Have you done any of the rides at the Stratosphere Hotel? And if I was coming to Vegas on vacation, pimp me a place to hang out. Love you in ROH. Wow.
Well, I love you in chat rooms. the roller coaster, I think the best roller coaster in Vegas is at the Sahara. It's called Speed. It's a NASCAR-themed roller coaster where they shoot you out. It's kind of like the Hulk in Universal Studios in Orlando, where they shoot, like, they blast, rocket ship you out of the gates. And, you know, it's not very long, but it's very fast and it's very intense, and you go around twice. The Stratosphere is a different story altogether. I went on the Big Shot, which is kind of like the Doctor Doom thing, where it shoots straight up on the needle and then down. But they've got like a whole new slew of rides at the Stratosphere, like one where you're attached to the harness and you can legit jump off the damn side of the Stratosphere. There's another one where there's one where you're kind of like on a seesaw, and then when it tips, you're in a roller coaster car and it takes you off the side of it and kind of stops you, like, right before, you know, you die. I take enough risks with my life as a professional wrestler where I'm not really, you know, it would just be my luck that the harness breaks, or it was the dude's first day on, you know, or screwing in the bolts, and I'm the dude that ends up going over the side of the Stratosphere. So my life is dangerous enough having to wrestle things like Kevin Steen and the like. So I haven't been on any of those ones at the Stratosphere, but you're more than welcome to. And Vegas is a cool place. If I were to go, well, my favorite place in Las Vegas is a place called the Voodoo Lounge. It's on top. It's got the best. It's 51 floors above Las Vegas. It's got the best view. You can see a whole panoramic view of the entire city, not just the strip, but you can see how far the city goes out into the mountains. So that would be my recommendation for you there.
Being that you live in Vegas and the MTV2 based show Lucha Libre USA Masked Warriors was there, did you happen to interact with any of those people? And if you were offered something with that show, would you accept, or does your ROH contract not allow you to do shows like that?
Well, I don't think that because they're on TV that I could have any kind of dealings with them. I haven't even had an opportunity to watch them. I mean, I see Mark Jindrake is there, and Magno, who's a guy that I met during the April pay-per-view in Charlotte, was a real good kid. I like Lucha. I just don't know how very good I would be at it. But hey, wrestling, you know, I would do it because I would enjoy the challenge of making myself into a Lucha guy. So if my deal with ROH would allow me to do something, yeah, I would definitely be interested in showing what I could do.
Okay, now Mace is cooking his lunch, but you were just talking about Lucha. Want to go a little bit off the page? If there was one thing Kenny King could do besides acting or wrestling, what would it be and why?
Profession wise, or
profession? One profession.
One profession. Other than acting or wrestling, I would want to be playing professional football. That was the thing that I loved the most before I found wrestling. I still love it to this day.
What position would you play?
I'd play strong safety or running back. I was a wide receiver that could catch, but I liked the feeling that you get when you hit somebody so hard that you feel their body loosen. Or when you can actually hear the guy swallow because you've hit him so hard. It would be strong safety. I'd be running the alley. I'd be reading defenses, and I'd be sent on blitzes from the edge so that I can give Eli Manning's dumbass another scar on his forehead.
that was awesome last night as a Jets fan. I was like, wait, it's preseason. You're not supposed to kill him like that yet, man, but yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I'm not a big Eli Manning fan at all, so.
Now, if you're an acting agent and you hear that, get Kenny King in the next football movie that's being made in Hollywood. Book it right now.
Book it right now.
Absolutely.
Put me on Friday Night Lights on him or whatever channel that's in. I could do that.
Yep. Got a chat room question. Wanted to know, what was it like the first time you met Taz?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
What was it like the first time you met Taz?
It wasn't good at all, actually, because that was the same day that Bob Holly kicked my ass. So they were supposed to go to Raw, and we all got in trouble because we went out and got loaded and ditched the camera crew. So Taz was being Taz, he's being very Tazzy. So it wasn't a very pleasant introduction. We did actually have some time to sit down and talk to him and kind of and feel him out as like a real human being rather than character Taz. But I was a big Taz fan in ECW. Like, I thought nobody. When I played No Mercy, I would always play with Taz. I remember when he put Tajiri in the Kata Hajime with barbed wire, and I thought, this dude is a freaking renegade. Like, he's going to go to jail. He's going to kill somebody. So I was always a big. Was that?
Say what? You were there?
I was at that event. I was at Heatwave 99 in Dayton, Ohio.
Heatwave, absolutely. That was the last. That was the last show the Dudley Boys were in before they went to the WWE and WWF then.
At that event. We sat in the second tier, and we were kind of on the back. If you're looking at it, like if you're watching the pay per view. And they show the camera angle and show Taz walking up the ramp.
Yep.
We were sitting on the back right corner of the ring. And it was with my stepbrother and me. And I'm sitting there watching it and, see him walking up the ramp. And we're like, what's he doing? What's he getting? And he starts pulling on the sign. We're like, no, 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 no. What's he going to use? And then he wrapped it around Tajiri's face. And I was like,
yep.
Oh, my God.
Yep. I'm like, are you serious? This dude just put the damn submission on the guy with barbed wire. He's trying to kill him. And that's when ECW was always like, was I'm not even my guilty pleasure. I would put it up against any wrestling then. I would defend ECW. I would try to get as many people because they used to come on Sunshine Network Fridays at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I would just try to get everybody that knew to watch this new thing, this new exciting thing called ECW. I loved it. I really did.
Those were some great moments. Now, if you had, you just talked about Taz and Tajiri, but what are some other, what's some of your other more favorite ECW moments, seeing as TNA just paid homage to ECW for the umpteenth time?
RVD versus Jerry Lynn, any one of them, and that's why it's been such a privilege for me to get to be even in the same locker room as Jerry Lynn, because I patterned a lot of my style as a professional wrestler after Rob Van Dam, mixing in martial arts and acrobatics and just plain old athleticism into professional wrestling. And to me, when Jerry Lynn first came on the scene, I was like, damn, this dude is every bit as good as Rob Van Dam. And all of the RVD Jerry Lynn matches, the RVD Sabu matches. Sabu has been a guy that, in my career has always took time out to talk to me and always took time out to help me whenever I've asked him, which is, I can't ever thank Sabu enough for that. What else, man? Taz and Bam Bam, where Taz got Bam Bam and Sam Kata Hajime, and Bam Bam goes back through the ring. Was it Raven or was it Dreamer that piled on Dula or Francine? And it was like the first time I'd ever seen a girl spawn on TV. I was like, oh my God, this is so hardcore. But, that's what made me. That's really what turned me into like a big wrestling fan, because of that. It was so far off the beaten path, but it was still drama and it was still pro wrestling. And that's what, you know, that's probably why I'm doing what I do to this day, is because of those guys and those memories that I have in ECW.
Kenny, this is Mace, the guy who's been quiet for 9/10 of this interview. Just a quick technical question for you. You know, you're an actor, but you're also a wrestler. Would you recommend to any aspiring wrestlers out there to go out there and, you know, join a drama club, get some acting lessons? You know, do you feel that that helps you along being a wrestler?
Absolutely, man. The best, the most money-making guys in our business have never been the best wrestlers. The guys who are best technically or the crisp, you know, it's good to see, and those are some of the most revered. But guys like The Rock, guys like Hogan, guys like Steve Austin, they were as great as they are, as they were, and as intriguing, and they made as much money as they did because they found a character, and they were able to project to endear themselves to millions of people, to where the millions of people would hang on their every word. I used to, back in those days, I used to watch Nitro the majority of the time. But when I knew it was time for The Rock to cut a promo, I'm turning. I don't care how much of you know, Rey Mysterio versus Super Crazy I missed. I want to see The Rock talk. And that's where, you know, coming, getting some acting class will help you along, because you have to find, and I would say, you know, I wouldn't say be over the top, but you have to find the ability to project a persona in the ring if you want to be successful, and that's, you know, that's a good way to start.
Wow, I have two more questions for you, Kenny. One's a serious one, and one's a rather silly one.
Uh-oh.
But my first question is kind of along the same lines as Mace. With all the people trying to get into the business, and a lot of people doing it the wrong way by jumping on a trampoline in their backyard and calling themselves wrestlers, and others who are actually going to legitimate schools and learning the business and paying their dues, what one piece of advice do you have for those individuals who are attempting to do it the right way? As they enter the business and enter the world of professional wrestling?
Don't do it. that's my first thing that whenever somebody asks me, man, I want to be a wrestler, how do I do it? I would say don't. And I say it because of this. Professional wrestling is a hard, physically demanding, mentally demanding, family life demanding, cruel, awful, beautiful, wonderful business. And all of that can be wrapped into one thing, because I always say this, and anybody who's ever is a wrestler says, nobody gets us but us. You know, my ex-girlfriend used to be in love with the fact that, and a lot of guys that are in the business are in love with the fact that they can say, I'm a pro wrestler, or my boyfriend's a pro wrestler. But when I'm not there for 3-4 days out of the week, or I come home and I can barely walk, and my body is one way, or I don't get to see you as much, or you're bald, or you can't go to work one Saturday because you need to go do this, or nobody gets it. It's not something you do if you don't have a lot to give up. And that's why I tell people don't do it, because a lot of people only want to do it because they see it and they think it's cooler, and they've always kind of wanted to do it, but they have no idea the sacrifices we make. And for those dudes in their backyards and dropping each other on their freaking heads and jumping off trampolines, and yeah, man, it's cool. Well, we all did it. You know, that's how we got, watching wrestling, that's how we got fell in love with it, because we wrestled our friends and this and that. But don't call yourself a federation. Don't call yourself a wrestler if you're not paying your dues and you're not willing to sacrifice the things that we sacrifice on a weekly or a monthly or a yearly basis. You know what I mean? I come home sometimes and I can't pick up my little girl, and I can't play with my little girl because I'm beat shit. I had my ass kicked all weekend. So these are things that people don't see on the other end of that curtain. They just see the pyro, they see the light, they see the 5-star matches and how we make it look so effortless and how we make it look so good. But on the other end of that, man, it takes a toll on your body. It takes a toll on every relationship in your life. And it'll take a toll on you mentally. Because how many wrestlers are there and how many guys are making or making money or can even say that they can support themselves or can even say that they do this for a profit? Not very many. You know, so, and that just makes the fact that there are so many other guys that do it the right way, that just is a testament to them and a testament to how important this business is. Because Al Snow told me something that I've never forgotten, and I've told this to guys that are coming up in the business, and guys that have been in the business, they completely agree with it. You'll never be able to explain to anybody why you have to do this. But you just have to once you do it for a period of time. I can't sit down and explain to you why I will go into a ring and possibly walk out paralyzed for the entertainment of other people, but I'll be in Philadelphia on Friday. So, you know, the guys that are doing it the right way, and to the guys that really found like, man, I love this and I really want to do this. Keep at it, man. It's not easy. And guess what? When you think that you're good, you're still not good. You can still get better. And that's the way that I approach pro wrestling. I don't think that I'm anywhere near as good as I need to be right now because I'm my own worst critic. And that's just the nature of the business. So, you know, to the backyarders, man, pick up another hobby, man. Go, like, put together model airplanes or go play, you know, go play Magic or Naruto or something. And to the guys that are doing it the right way, keep at it, baby, because if you love it, then you have to do it.
Naruto. All right, my last question of the evening for you. You can tell a lot of about a person by the underwear that they wear.
Oh, God.
I like to consider myself a pair of Grundy tidy whities. What type of underwear is Kenny King?
Kenny King is, wow, you know what Kenny King is? Kenny King is silk boxer briefs, or like the latex boxer, like, they're not silk, but they're like, I can't remember, I don't know the name of the material, but, because I'm a little bit flashy, very smooth, and I feel good when I'm on.
Bravo, sir! Bravo!
I feel good when I'm near your crotch, but, you know, that's, I don't know.
Wow!
Thank you so much. That's a vision I didn't want. Thank you, Kenny. If you're in the Philadelphia area, Friday, Saturday, he is going to be a part of the ROH tapings. I believe this Friday is 8 p.m., Saturday's 4 p.m. For fans that may not have been following this online and through ROH on HDNet, explain to fans on the 27th, you're in a semifinal match, the All Night Express taking on Colt Cabana and El Generico. What exactly has gone on with this Tag Wars thing, and do you think it's been a good change of pace for the company?
Ring of Honor's got the best tag team wrestling in the world. There's the main companies in wrestling, two of the others, because I feel the Ring of Honor is the main company for wrestling, but the two other main companies in North America have decided that tag wrestling really isn't important. And I think that's a bunch of BS, because my very first match that I ever watched in my entire life was WrestleMania 2 or 3, Demolition versus Strikeforce. And I think tag team wrestling is as important as singles wrestling. So Tag Wars is a concept where you're putting your best tag team in a bracket. We're having a tournament. At the end of it, we're going to face the tag champs. So you're going to, and it's going to be what's called an ultimate endurance match, where we're allowing the fans to pick the stipulation. Ultimate endurance are going to be four teams, so they're going to have to be four falls, or three falls, rather. And we're allowing the fans to pick the stipulations for each one of those falls. So the first one could be a casket match. The second one could be a 60-minute Ironman. And the third fall could be an I Quit match. Or a quick I Quit fall. We're putting that in the hands of the fans. when we're doing that, because we know, bar none, that all the teams that are in that in Tag Wars, all the teams that are left of Tag Wars, are capable of producing the best tag team wrestling, period. And at the end of that, the three teams that make it through the tournament are going to face the Kings of Wrestling for the ROH Tag Team titles. And that in and of itself is going to be just a great honor to be in the ring with those guys too.
Now, does that take place after they have to get through the world's greatest tag team with Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin on 9/11, or how soon does that match happen to get the title shot?
No, brother, that's the next night in Richmond.
Oh, it is? Okay.
The next night in Charlotte, rather. I take that back. The next night in Charlotte, because we've already done two rounds of Tag Wars. There were three brackets. We've already done two rounds. The final pairings, I believe, are myself and Red against Cabana and Delirious, Dark City Fight Club against the Bravado Brothers, and who else? I think that's it. No, I'm missing somebody else. Maybe that is it. All Night Express. What was it? All Night Express and Dark City Fight Club and Bravados. Yeah, so those are the final two rounds. And then then the next night, it's four teams. Somebody's going to walk out the champ.
You mentioned
speaking of Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas.
Oh, yeah.
At the risk of sounding presumptuous, I would just like to say that anytime Shelton Benjamin likes to prove who the greatest athlete in wrestling is, I work at Ring of Honor. And, you know, after they get done, you know, proving who's the world's greatest tag team, I think we should prove who's the greatest athlete in professional wrestling. Because ever since I've been in this business, I've been compared to Shelton Benjamin, which is a great honor because I think Shelton Benjamin is a tremendous, tremendous wrestler. But as I've come into my own, I'm not Shelton Benjamin, I'm Kenny King, and I think it's time for us to figure that out.
On that note, he's been with us for over an hour and has been entertaining as ever. Definitely check out ROHWrestling.com. Are you one of the Twit people or Tweet people, whatever it is?
No,
do you do that stuff?
No, I'm not a Twit at all. I think that's the reason why. I don't think that anybody wants to know when I'm going to the grocery store or that I just found a piece of lint in my belly button. Like, I just think it's too much access. I don't really want you to know what the hell I'm doing.
Cool, because these guys have been trying to get me for about a... We had Snake Master Abunadine on, who's worked here in Florida for decades, and he's been dogging me. He's like, you need one of these things. Everybody, I'm like, what the heck am I going to talk about in 140 characters? I'm like, I'm not cool like Ashton Kutcher and all these people. I mean, your Facebook friends with a mutual friend of ours, your Facebook friends are Francisco Chiazzo. And you see what Frankie talks about all the time on there. So I'm like, I don't need to know that your breakfast and your lunch and your neighbor has three cats or I don't get it.
Facebook's enough. I'll update my status on Facebook whenever I feel like I have something insightful to say, or if I just want to, if I just want to say something random, that's enough. You'll never catch Kenny King on Twitter. I'm sorry.
All right, that's a great commercial right there for the Twitter folks. He is, as I said, ROHWrestling.com is where you can buy the tickets for the events this coming weekend and next coming weekend. And you also have Glory by Honor 9, Kerry Silken, and whoever's booking ROH. Get this guy on a pay-per-view for us. Get the All That Express on. But then again, if you win on the 28th, it's not the Kings of Wrestling facing Haas and Benjamin. It's you guys.
You know what? That's actually absolutely true. And I plan on, my thing is, too, and me and Red have been talking about this. I'm royalty. I'm Kenny King. You can't call yourself the king of kings of wrestling when Kenny King is still in wrestling. So, yeah, I think me and Red got something special planned for the, because I'm not looking past Cabana and Delirious, but I am. We're going. I promised that we're going to the finals, and we're going to the finals, and we're going to go give the Kings of Wrestling everything they can handle. We're going to walk out with those belts so that, the other greatest Salt and Pepper team in wrestling can face the new best salt and pepper team in wrestling.
He is Kenny King of the All Night Express. Thank you so much for being with us, and have a safe trip to Philadelphia.
Thank you.
All right, I'm gonna call you on your landline in a couple minutes after we wrap up here.
Sounds good.
All right, thank you so much. Like I said, you gotta be on this show, because oh my god. Okay, so last week we had C.W. Anderson in a sex den. Now we got Brian Danielson getting stabbed by a girl thanks to El Generico. I mean, you gotta be here on All My World of Wrestling Radio each and every week. We're Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. If you missed this, tell your friends, go to Click Wrestle, look us up on iTunes. I don't know if either, did I lose Spug and Mace? Did they both vanish?
I'm still here.
Alright. Taku Talk is tomorrow night. Any idea of what's on the docket for tomorrow?
On the docket for tomorrow is quite a few weird little things. One of which I'll be bringing up, Namco registers a fight for the Antiques Roadshow, the video game. Yeah, let that one sink in. Lots and lots of video game and movie news coming out of all parts of the United States, so tune in tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern to hear myself, Spug, and Omega go over the latest and greatest of geek news and just talk crap about midgets for a couple of hours.
You're on the damn midgets. I mean, God.
Alan.
Alan.
It's Spug.
Midgets equal ratings. Get that through your head. Midgets,
so that's why all the people who are really watching Lucha Libre USA, they're not watching to see Amazing Kong and Rebecca Reyes and Marco Corleone. They're checking out
midgets.
Mini Park and Pequeno Halloween, okay. We've been having some fun on this network thanks to DJ Sir Rockin', DJ Stein, DJ Heartbreaker on random nights, Thursday nights, since Cindy Sin has not been around. We wish her the best in her recovery from her battle with the tonsils, which sucks, especially when you do something like we do every week. So we wish her nothing but the best. You can send get well wishes to cindysin.com, which is SYNDYSYNN.com. Definitely go there. Saturday night is the classic CB Radio with Sir Rockin' and the Godfather of Extreme Rob Parks. Any clue as to what you will be pontificating on this Saturday midnight-ish, Sir Rockin'?
If you checked out last week's episode, you heard us have no topics, and we bullcrapped our way through about 3 hours of a show, and BS all the time on that show. We never know who's going to show up, because we have many guest hosts on the show, or old hosts, or new hosts, and all that fun stuff. Midnight-ish, Saturday nights.
And, of course, Sunday nights, they're back to the regular 10 p.m. slot, because we don't have a pay-per-view to watch. Thank goodness after the last two. I know I stand alone on the TNA events, and I'm standing my ground, but as I said Sunday, compared to those two pay-per-views, if I had to choose again, I probably would have watched the EV 4.0 event over SummerSlam. They will be having the Great Debate semifinals, as mentioned, with Sting, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and Big Van Vader. Spug will probably have, I believe he's starting up again, a roundtable discussion this past week involved why the panel felt World Wrestling Entertainment has never put the WWE belt, not the former WCW belt, on a performer of African-American descent, and that's why I was brought up with Kenny King. Any of this stuff can be checked out at the most awesome wildtalkradio.com site. Our ownership is onlineworldofwrestling.com. We also are founded OWW Radio. You can, through Online World of Wrestling Radio and onlineworldofwrestling.com, you can do tons of stuff. You can look up info on the guests we just had tonight. There's the most detailed profiles there. There's the OWW Genesis Forum where you can talk, like the commercial says that I do on this network. And Thank you so much to ROH for setting up Coco Cabana. Thanks to myself for setting up Kenny King. We may be delving into the MMA next week. We'll see if somebody's phone doesn't get beat up by someone. So, speaking of the of people that have
nice transition, by the way.
Yeah, Eminem and Rihanna are going to take us out here. Online World of Wrestling Radio, WTR Productions is the people that did this for us. Have a good night. When it's going good, it's going great. I'm Superman with the wind in his back. She's going lame, but when it's bad.